It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Sorry about the delay there. God forbid I should be able to just start the program without any interruptions. But, you know, no, it doesn't work that way. So, you know, whatevs. Hi, this is The Horn. We will be firing up a special Wednesday on the front porch this evening because of the Mueller statement today. I figured folks would like to share their thoughts in a sort of rousing free-form conversation. So run on by headon.live for the Skype link if you want to participate in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable on that topic this evening. We'll get started here in a little bit, but if you'll go ahead and wander into the room, that way we can get going when the mood strikes. Where are we this evening? Well, we have no subscribers to thank for the 29th of the month because of the way that February screws everything up. So thank you to all our subscribers. I will say that we've got $485 we need to raise, and there are $75 in challenges on the table, courtesy of our dear friend Ralphs up in Wisconsin. And a $50 former Monsanto executive Slappy Thomas challenge as well. So there's $75 worth of matching challenges on the table, and that would get us part of the way to where we need to be. The bottom line is there are bills that have to be paid by the end of the night tonight, and if they're not, hey, probably no program for a while. That's just the way the bills work in a hard month. So my apologies, but that's where we are. So there's $75 worth of challenges, much appreciated, on the table, and hopefully we can knock out at least $300 of the $485 goal. Okay. Again, the interface is there at headon.live. Just click on it, and it'll take you to the PayPal interface and all of that that follows from it. Let's talk a little bit about writing. When you write something, especially if it's important, if you're anything like me, you edit it both ruthlessly and remorselessly. Those words aren't your precious children, and adding or cutting isn't something you do with emotion. You do it with intellect, and usually, unless you're writing in a Gotta Da Vida or Jabberwocky, with an eye toward clarity of communication. In that process, you go back and reread and read aloud time after time. You examine sentences, phrases, clauses, even individual words. Along the way, the words upon which you decide become at least somewhat embedded in your brain. For instance, I don't script the filibobsters because I deliberately want them to have an element of spontaneity. Scripting is the antithesis of spontaneity. I have, however, scripted what I am saying now. I'm reading it to you for a reason. Consider it sort of an experiment. In this case, it isn't grave. It isn't particularly consequential. But I've treated it the same way I do an op-ed submission for a newspaper, or as once upon a time long ago, I would have treated a piece of writing to be submitted for people I knew would be poring over it to make sure they got the essence of my intent. Why? Because words mean things, as the GOP repeatedly shrieked back in the late 1990s. Today, reading his statement from a podium at the Department of Justice, Robert Mueller, stone-faced man of probity and dignitas, could scarcely get through a sentence of his own statement without stammering and stuttering, double-clutching, and backtracking. He also didn't take questions. Now, I'm sure the powdered, pampered panjandrums of the multimillionaire for-profit media had a million questions they would have liked to have asked. I'll wager, though, that this question would not have been one of them. Sir, did you write this statement yourself? Did you give it without threat or coercion? Is this statement of yours given of your own free will? I suppose we'll never know. But I don't think it was. Short of sending out SOS by batting his eyelids, he could not, Robert Mueller, either intentionally or have made it more clear he was not reading his own words, and perhaps, more importantly, that he was scared. By way of example, let's go back in time. Little over a year. More. It was the last time that Robert Mueller appeared for a Senate oversight hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, which at the time was headed by Chuck Grassley and the ranking member was Patrick Leahy. And there, Robert Mueller read a prepared statement, just as he did today. Here's just a sample.
And on behalf of them, let me begin by thanking you for your support of the institution over the last 11 and a half years since September 11th. Any progress that we have made in that time frame is attributable to a number of entities, one of them being this particular committee. Now, we live in a time of diverse and persistent threats from terrorists, spies, cyber criminals. And at the same time, we face a wide range of criminal threats from white-collar crime to child predators. And just as our national security and criminal threats constantly evolve, so too must we, the FBI, evolve to counter these threats, even during a time of constrained budgets. And today I would like to highlight several of the FBI's highest priority national security and criminal threats, starting with terrorism. As illustrated by the recent attacks in Boston, the terrorist threat against the United States must remain our top priority.
The content is immaterial. It is the degree to which he was at ease. There are a couple of clues in there. He says, in the 11 and a half years since September 11th, so we know we are in the Obama administration. He makes a reference to the Boston bombing. And while there's an here and a pause there, it's obvious that Robert Mueller, is very much at ease. And he is reading, again, a script, otherwise known as a prepared statement, just as I did a little bit ago. I am more than happy to say that I think that Robert Mueller is far more a practiced individual at dealing with the public and dealing with reporters and dealing with governance than am I. He demonstrates it in that final Senate oversight hearing back during the Obama administration. Now I want to go to his statement today. Compare the Robert Mueller of, say, 2012, 2000, when was the Boston bombing? I honestly don't remember, I'm sorry. But compare that Robert Mueller with this Robert Mueller.
Wrongdoers accountable. Let me say a word about the report. The report has two parts, addressing the two main issues we were asked to investigate. The first volume of the report details numerous efforts emanating from Russia to influence the election. This volume includes a discussion of the Trump campaign's response to this activity, as well as our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy.
Do you notice the difference in tone of voice? And that's not an electronic thing. These are both recordings made through microphones. But in the oversight hearing some years back, he is speaking freely and easily, and moreover, from the diaphragm. In the statement he made today, his voice remains forever up in his throat, which is a sign of stress. He constantly touches his face. As Agnes noted when we watched this together, he also keeps looking out of the corner of his eye off screen to his left. Agnes said, "Who's over there to his left? Who's he looking at?" Don't know. But just give a little further listen.
And in the second volume, the report describes the results and analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president.
Okay, so it's a little stilted. But wait, there's more.
The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit.
If we had had confidence. This is not a man reading his own words. And for a man who had a 12-year tenure as the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who gave countless addresses, to begin stammering and stumbling over the content of his report that was issued over his signature. This simply struck me as more than a little bit odd. And there was a lot more of it, too. And am I to believe that with regard to this statement, which he knew he was going to give, that he simply came out and read it cold without ever having seen it before? Or that he wrote it, if he wrote it himself, and really didn't pay much attention to the words he was putting on paper? That strains credulity for me. Oh, he's nervous. I don't buy that either. It doesn't matter whether a witness is on the stand or at a deposition. And this guy's a lawyer. He's one of the most important, most high-ranking lawyers in the country. Like I said, whether on the stand or whether in a deposition, or, you know, ask anybody who's ever been pulled over by a cop. There's body language involved. Speech can be pressured by stress, by fear. We read each other's body language and tone of voice all the time. Well, I think Billable Rick has his tongue at least partially in his cheek. He says, I know who Mueller kept looking at off to his left. It was the guy with the machine gun off screen waiting for Mueller to say the wrong thing. Kind of like the guys who were overseeing gladiatorial combatants off screen in the Star Trek show Bread and Circuses. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference. Now, Darlene in Connecticut says, touching his face and flubbing up his words and looking off to his left and right are always something he's done from my observations of his many statements and hearings over the many years. It could be his way of dealing with stress as a matter of course, but I do agree the higher pitch and strain in his voice is palpable. That is different for sure. Well, I watched in the hearing, and by the way, Darlene tells me it was 2013. He's 74, Bob, albeit he does seem physically vigorous, but it was a long 2 years for him. You really think he's running scared? Yes, I do. I think he's scared to death. I think he's more scared than he was in Vietnam. One of the things that I read earlier today was an interview with Andrew McCabe in which he talked about how he and Comey, given their long experience dealing with the Russian mob in New York, have nothing but questions about why Donald Trump, who has had all these dealings with Russians over the course of his career, why he behaves the way he does. And how an order from Donald Trump sounds like an order from the mob. They don't say go out, they don't say give me $100 a week or I'll burn down your furniture store. They say, nice furniture store you got there, you might want to give me $100 a week. If that was something you wanted to do, and we could make sure your furniture store didn't burn down. I'm pretty sure Robert Mueller is not a man without a family. And Brother Deacon Asa says, I'm just going to come out and say what's on the top of the tip of your tongue, but are hesitant to say. His family's life has been threatened by the Ruski mob. Would it surprise you? It would not surprise me. Let's continue a little more. Let's go back to the con.
To influence the election. This volume includes a discussion of the Trump campaign's response to this activity, as well as our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. And in the second volume, the report describes the results and analysis.
I don't want to blow your speakers out, but I want you to hear the... I mean, that's my best approximation of it. The breaths... Everybody breathes when they talk. Either through your nose or through your mouth, or, you know, if you're related to the lava lizards of the Galapagos Islands, through your eyelids. But when the breath is quaky, that is fear. That is nerves. And yeah, sure. Years and years and years ago, maybe this is apocryphal, but I think it was Toastmasters who surveyed people and asked them what their gravest, most deep and abiding fear was. Death was number two. speaking in public was number one. But that cannot possibly apply to Robert Mueller. Just listen.
Of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
Why do you stumble over confidence? Seems an odd word to stumble over. And I say that as someone who stumbles over words all the time. Confidence. But he stumbles over another word that's a little bit surprising.
We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the Volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime.
A present president? A president? Confidence and president. It's just fucking weird. Like I said, I was watching this, waiting for him to start blinking SOS with his eyelids. Blink, blink, blink. Blink, blink, blink. Blink, blink, blink. Something wrong here. Something badly wrong. Is he scared of Bill Barr? Is he afraid that their wives won't talk at church anymore? Now, you help me with this. I've been bothered with this all day long since I watched it live. And I took out my tablet and I took out my phone and I videoed the statement as I watched it happen. And I went back and I watched the clips over and over again and I heard the stammering and I heard the stumbling and I heard the halting breaths. There's no way you can tell me that this guy is in worse shape than Donald Trump. He seems like a healthy and vigorous 74, doesn't he? Far more so than that adipose tub of guts that passes himself off as a president. Billable Rick. Mueller and his fear of stochastic terror. One of Mueller's concerns may be that the constant berating of him and his investigation as a witch hunt might trigger an insane maggot to harm him or his family. That wouldn't be unlike the recent maggot bomber, Bill O'Reilly's constant refrain of Tiller the baby killer, which caused an anti-abortion nut to kill Tiller in church, and the shooter who was going to attack the Tides Foundation but got busted for drunk driving en route to his target. This is how the wingnut right media machine rolls. It seeks to weaponize some of its unstable acolytes and spur them to action. That's a possibility, too. But my tingling spidey sense says that it's something else. That it is something more specific. And the statement itself was also a message to the Congress. Now, the multimillionaires of the for-profit media have been claiming all day that that message was that Congress has to act. But if that's what you want to say, fucking say it. Don't stand there and pretend to be the goddamned Oracle of Delphi waiting for somebody to interpret your words. Because that can go terribly wrong. It was over 2,000 years ago that the Athenians consulted the oracle at Delphi as to how they could hold off the Persians. And they were told that they would be saved by their wooden walls. And the Athenians looked around and said, our wooden walls are going to save us from the Persian horde? It's fucking nuts. Until somebody said, oh, no. What they meant was the wooden walls of our triremes of our navy. Oh, okay. You misinterpret an oracle and you're fucked. But instead we get... Okay, I've been talking a lot about Catch-22 lately. There's a passage in there where a file clerk who's a corporal keeps editing orders and sending them back with the comment on them, your prose is too prolix. What he said today was some seriously prolix prose.
Prime, while he is in office. That is unconstitutional.
We need to back up for this. And without my comment, just sort of get the gist of it.
Involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
That's the prolix prose. If we had had confidence that the president had not committed a crime, we would have said so. Somewhere, whatever remains of Aristotle is once again doing a buck and wing down in the dirt. If we had evidence of negativity, we would have said so. Well, that just kicks dirt in the face of every principle of logic that Western civilization has more or less run by over the millennia. It's a very simple rule. You cannot prove a negative. When did you stop hitting your wife? When did you stop having sex with goats? Well, I didn't. Well, you have sex with goats, do you? Some of this is English major stuff, but some of this is also legal writing 101 first year of law school, in which they beg you not to write in convoluted fashion, but to channel your inner Hemingway and say what you mean and mean what you say. If what you want to say is, there was evidence that the president obstructed justice, fucking say it in the name of the Constitution you swore to uphold and defend on more than one occasion, Bob. Not that convoluted, prolix load of shit. Because there's nobody in the White House who can even understand that.
As well as our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. And in the second volume, the report describes...
Oh, by the way, our conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. insufficient evidence is not the same as no evidence. What he's saying is that there was evidence of a conspiracy, just not enough to charge with. Again, fucking say that if that is what you mean, because that's what it means. But instead, the powdered pampered panjandrums of the millionaire, multimillionaire for-profit media have to sit there and pick it apart like a yogi deconstructing a spider web. This is not helpful. But it also confirms everything that I've been saying about the report since it came out.
The results and analysis of our obstruction of justice investigation involving the president. The order appointing me special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime.
Yeah, he'll explain why. But as I said it from jump, he admits in this statement that even if he had found evidence of it, he never would have done anything about it. That's what you call taking a dive.
Authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. We conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. And as set forth in the report after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional.
No, it is not. That is a misstatement, a material misstatement of fact and constitutional law. You can read the Constitution cover to cover, beginning to end, upside down, backwards, sideways, in a mirror. You can even use your special decoder ring from the Cracker Jack box, and you will never find any even intimation that the President of the United States cannot be charged with a crime while he is in office. Anywhere. That is merely, and by the way, I was mistaken sometime back when I said that the DOJ guidance was a product of the Ford administration. No, it was a product of Richard M. Nixon's Department of Justice. And it was contemplated over the issue of whether or not you could go after, in part, Spiro T. Agnew. Everything in the Constitution points in the exact opposite direction from that guidance. And I will go so far as to say, because I'm using the just to use as an analogy, at some point in time when Robert Mueller joined the United States Marine Corps, he was taught that he did not have to follow an illegal order. I would submit that a person who has sworn an oath to support and defend the Constitution does not have to follow an illegal guidance. The Supreme Court of the United States has never, ever, ever ruled on the question of whether a president may be charged with a crime. We've been over this. Matt in San Francisco with a note. Could it be, I'm just spitballing here, Mr. Mueller's been through some serious stuff in his life, war, spying, and moving in circles where the wrong step could be your last. My opinion, the guy is frustrated and beaten down. He basically worked for 2 years and handed over a report that basically says, we have a fucktard at the helm with ties to one of our biggest adversaries on Earth. What did he get in return? Shrugged shoulders and a million lies from the Republicans and a million words that add up to basic babbling from the Speaker of the House. So in short, he put his ass on the line to save this country. In response, he got the equivalent of dropping a pebble in a river when what is called for is the immediate building of the Hoover Dam. In short, he could have said, I did all I could. Congress, get off your ass and take what I gave you and do something. Shit or get off the pot. I didn't do all this work so you could just have endless conversations over tea and crumpets. And it's easy to agree with a lot of that, Matt, in San Francisco. But there's a problem. I mean, there were the multimillionaires said that some of these things were veiled jabs at Bill Barr. Maybe he was. Maybe Bill Barr is the guy who's off stage left. I don't know. But the problem lies in the fact that he says that he was never going to charge the president no matter what he found. Again, that's called taking a dive.
We had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the Volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy.
Does that mean that he'd like to have done more, but his hands were tied? Then, if that's what that means, say that. This isn't a goddamn T.S. Eliot poem.
Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider.
Ever. At all, from jump.
The department's written opinion explaining the policy makes several important points that further informed our handling of the obstruction investigation. Those points are summarized in our report, and I will describe two of them for you. First, the opinion explicitly permits the investigation of a sitting president because it is important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents available.
Oh, that must mean that he's got some recorded recollections and available documents, and he's preserved them. I wonder if the Congress has been allowed to have access to all of those. No, I don't wonder, because they haven't.
Among other things, that evidence could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing.
Wait, the Constitution says that, or the opinion says that?
Used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing.
No, it goddamn doesn't. Again, backwards, forwards, sideways, upside down, bottom to top, top to bottom, in a mirror, with your decoder ring, you will not find that language anywhere in the Constitution. It is made up bullshit by a Republican Department of Justice run by the guy who previously was the most criminal president we have ever had in the history of this nation. 1973. And again, if he's playing at being a Delphic Oracle, we're just going to be left to guess at whether or not he thinks that that's right or wrong. He's stating it in the affirmative. It sounds like he agrees with it all. But if you go back there in 2000, under the in the waning days of the Clinton administration, there was a DOJ restatement of the 1973 rule. I read it today. You know what it relies on? It relies on Thomas Jefferson, who, I read it and I went, son of a gun, we really are that far ahead of the curve here. I've talked at length about the Burr affair. And damned if that thing doesn't rely on Thomas Jefferson claiming that as President of the United States, in the matter in which he was trying to have Aaron Burr murdered for treason, he claimed that the president has the privilege of not having to show up at a judicial proceeding. Son of a gun. How about that, sports fans? But even that, is not to be found in the Constitution. That was simply Thomas Jefferson desperate to keep from getting stone cold busted for having orchestrated a show trial, a sham trial, against the one human being that he hated more and had hated since the election of, what, 1802? For having dared to even slow down his progress to the presidency. Aaron Burr. See, Thomas Jefferson fucked Aaron Burr long before Burr did anything else to anyone. Thomas Jefferson has a memorial on the Tidal Basin in D.C. And Aaron Burr winds up being the American Republic idea of Satan. So I just wanted to put some ideas out there for our consideration. There's a lot more to talk about, and I'm going to jump over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in a moment. I need to send out thanks, though, to Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth, so very kindly, and thanks to Jean Ann. Thank you both immensely, because that means that both challenges have been met, both Ralph's and the Slappy Thomas Monsanto challenge. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So that means that that means we got 3:35 to go and need to do at least another $150 before the program's out. so that I can get that damn bill paid when the program's over. Let's do go over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable with a warning that there's thunderstorms passing through. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't want to go to the basement again, but what's coming through now is what lambasted the greater Kansas City area last night. I was following Sister Carol Baker on Facebook, and she made it abundantly clear how bad it was, and then I saw the video this morning. Darlene with a note, not an excuse, but an explanation. If you think about it, Robert Mueller was not in the Marines all that long, still trying to understand it, but it was published in 2018. A link from Lawfare blog, yes, the Constitution allows indictment of the president. Of course it does. If it doesn't expressly forbid it, it's permissible. And for that matter, you can argue that the states... No, don't even go there. We'll be lost before we get started. Flavio says Bill Barr was in Alaska today. I read or heard this somewhere. Billable Rick points out, OLC guidance is not law or constitutional authority. The Office of Legal Counsel guidance is not a law or supported by the Constitution or based on case law. It's simply what it purports to be, a guidance. What part of the word guidance doesn't Mueller understand? Meanwhile, Michael in Madison, subject line, Bill Barr Baggins. Just FYI, it was reported this morning that Bill Barr was in Alaska today. Bill Barr Baggins. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's worth the cowbell. So let's check in over, hey, Sparky and the rest of the group. What's up?
I'm doing my Wild Kingdom thing right now, Bob.
I didn't know you'd had a Wild Kingdom thing you did.
Remember I told you about the fox by the tree?
Oh, yeah. Okay, that Wild Kingdom thing.
There's three kits out there.
Oh, wow. Like, Mama's had babies.
Yeah. I don't know how long ago, but they're fairly good size right now. But there's three of them. They get out there in the grass and wrestle around. They were going nuts last night.
Oh, God. Thank God Agnes isn't there. She'd be trying to pet them. Yeah, you think I'm kidding. I'm not.
No, I don't think so.
I remember when the lion got loose down in Greenbrier County, and she was hoping it would be come into our backyard because we share a common county line with Greenbrier County. She was out in the backyard hollering, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty."
Well, just tell Agnes they're the cutest things you ever want to see.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that at all, Sparky. I'm not dumb. Or are you just looking to have a house guest?
No. But they got the little white puck tips on the tails and everything, and the little pointy ears.
Oh.
Somebody's got feedback.
Yeah, we're echoing, or we were. Well, let's move around the room. Let me check in with.
I got a fan going, so I may not talk.
Okay, that's cool. Ooh, it cooled off a little bit today. We had a bunch of clouds and stuff. But let's check in with unofficial, not really in-house counsel, Billable Rick. What do you think, Rick?
I think Mueller's wrong. The Office of Legal Counsel guidance that says a sitting president can't be indicted is just made up out of whole cloth. It's
have you ever read that year 2000 restatement?
Not can't say I may have at one point, but I haven't recently, so I'm not that familiar with it. What does it say, Bob?
Well, again, it rests its reasoning upon an objection by Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a thin read, to say the least. If you want to read the whole thing, it can be found. It was found and sent to me in a reply on Twitter. If you want to run over to my Twitter timeline, you can find the link and have a run at. Like I said, it's quite lengthy, but the reasoning the reasoning is shabby at best. And among other things, There's reference in there to things being filed by Robert Bork. So if Robert Bork had a hand in it, you can be sure that it was sleazy.
Right. Or just, you know, ridiculously reasoned, you know. I mean, he basically, you know, the so-called conservative jurists, they figure out what result they want to get to. And then they figure out, okay, how can I get there, instead of looking at the problem as a totality and then trying to work your way through it, you know?
Right.
They try to, you know, put the cart before the horse, you know? Results-oriented reasoning. That's what they're all about, Bob. You know?
It's a criminal. And of course, Julius Geezer took another goddamn victory lap.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All this winning, I'm getting so tired of it, Bob. Amazing, huh?
Well, I mean, am I wrong for just wishing that Mueller would have spoken plain English?
No.
I mean, would it have been too much to say, I never said there was no collusion? I mean, he says it in the report, but that was written in words, and words are things that Donald Trump doesn't read.
Right, and his followers.
You have to say it to him very slowly.
You know, you almost need like a maggot translator, you know, to put it in the language of the maggots, you know.
The maggot whisperer.
Yeah, hey, right.
Hello, Rick. How you doing?
And by the way, the other thing that's noteworthy in there, you know, at the beginning, he says, "Well, I'm retiring now," which means that if he's retired from the DOJ, those guidances and shit no longer apply to him. And he also pled.
Subpoena.
Yeah, he also pled, "I don't want to testify."
Yeah.
And And again, because we have to translate him into English, he seemed to be saying, "And if you do call me to, if you subpoena me, I'm just going to read you the fucking report."
Right.
Yeah, but the report keeps changing though, because they keep unredacting certain sections that are currently redacted, like Emmett Sullivan. Is that his name? The DC judge, Bob Flynn.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Darlene.
Hey, Darlene.
Hey.
Hi, Darlene.
So, I mean, do you, is there any, if he says he's just going to read from the report, whatever it may be, is there any point in calling him?
Yes, for you can hear the inflections in his voice and see his facial expressions, and it might make more of an impression.
There's lots of questions as to the circumstances under which the report was released and the summaries that he drafted that Barr did not release.
And once he's under oath, what's he going to say? Just, no, I'm not answering that, you know?
Well, sorry, buddy, but, you know, I've got a client who has to testify in front of an IRS agent. They don't want to, but they're going to.
Yeah.
Because the government's entitled to every person's evidence. Yeah. He's at the center of this,
and he's now just a regular citizen like me or you, Rick. So,
yeah, and go ahead.
I've got a totally different read on this situation, and it's kind of worrying me that I have a different take than what everyone else is saying.
Well, share it.
I didn't read it as Mueller was scared. I read it that Mueller was pissed off. I read it as that was as near a fuck you to Barr and all the Republicans that immediately took his report and summarized it as Trump was exonerated. I read that he was trying to keep his temper.
If that was the case, why did we have to take it that way? Why not just say it in English?
Because how many times have you gotten on the radio, Bob, and you had to translate what someone from West Virginia is saying, because you've lived there so long, you know what they're really saying, even though their words are different? I've lived in the D.C. metro area the first 18 years of my life. I know what they're saying. Even they're not going to get behind a podium saying, "Fuck you, you chumps. Go to hell." They're not gonna...
Megan's right, because he's an institutionalist. He's a bureaucrat. He's not going to do it.
I hear you.
All those other Republicans is you're going to get.
I heard him distinctly tell Congress to do his fucking job, is what I heard.
That's exactly how I read it, John B.
That's what I heard.
Yep,
you know, he's trying to walk that line because he's still a member of the DOJ. But, you know, this, you know, it says that the Constitution requires. It doesn't say a Constitution suggests. Hey, maybe we ought to. No, it says it requires.
Congress. Well, and Mueller would know how to walk that line because he was in the military, then he was in the FBI, and now he was special counsel. I don't think he knows how to step outside the line, if you want to know the truth.
He's a good soldier. You know, he always has been.
But
I do believe he did stick at the Barr today because of the wording that Barr used versus the wording that Mueller used.
That's a very optimistic.
And they were talking about the collusion shit. Barr came out and said no evidence. And Mueller came out and said insufficient. There's a big difference between insufficient
and none
and no.
Yeah, that's how I read it. Mueller was saying insufficient evidence does not mean he was cleared. Yeah. If he was cleared, we would have said it. And his repeating those words were along. I thought he was repeating the Republican line. The Republican saying, "Oh, it said he was totally exonerated." He said if there was evidence that Trump was not involved at all, they would have said it. But
yeah.
The fact that the negative, him leaving it out, is suggesting a positive.
Well, I mean, here are the side-by-side quotes, just real quick. There's Barr, no evidence of the Trump campaign collusion, versus Mueller, insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy. Then there's also Barr, evidence developed by the special counsel is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense, versus If we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so.
Right. Yeah.
Trump sufficiently covered his ass to keep his ass out of it, and that they could not prove, they did not have a smoking gun to prove it in a court of law. That does not mean there was no evidence of wrongdoing.
It also means that the possibility he obstructed that investigation to the extent that they could not prove the conspiracy.
He also used the word crime, by the way. He used the word.
Yes, he did.
It was very general. He didn't say that if we had confidence that the president did not obstruct justice.
Yeah, he used that word crime. I noticed that too.
Thank you, Todd. I did too. I thought that was very interesting. It kept it general, which I think could mean the conspiracy piece as well.
He used it, when he said the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president. He's telling Congress right there, it's not, I can't do this. It's your freaking job.
Yep.
And isn't that why we just walked over the freaking house in 2018?
But John, that is a misstatement. That is also, at the same time, a misstatement of the Constitution of the United States.
How's that?
There is no other mechanism to charge the president with a crime.
No, it's Congress's.
Because as Dr. Bill has explained time after time after time, the phrase high crimes and misdemeanors is a term of art from the 18th century whose meaning most people do not even remotely understand. It comes from Mary Oldie Engeland, among other things. The impeachment clause lists bribery, treason, or other high crimes and misdemeanors, which means some sort of official malfeasance or misfeasance of office. For Mueller to say, however, that there's another mechanism that deals with a crime, no. Because even if you go back and you read that 2000 restatement of the 1973 guidance, what you'll find is they make reference to the other part of the impeachment clause, which says that impeachment shall not be a bar to criminal prosecution. And what happens with that 1973 guidance is, out of whole cloth, the Nixon Justice Department declares that what that means is that a president can only be charged after he leaves office, which is not what that clause says at all.
You know, Mueller also testified in the past that he is not a constitutional expert or an expert in constitutional law. So two of the questions that I think he should be hauled in front of Congress to answer to is, number one is, you know, who on his team was the special counsel office being advised by any constitutional law specialists or experts in the Constitution? And then the second question is, what the hell happened? You brought this up, Bob, plenty of times. What the hell happened to the hacking of the RNC and conservative think tank emails? Was there a line of inquiry there? Because I don't think there was. He only devoted maybe like a sentence or a half a sentence to that in the indictment of the 12 Russian military officials that the RNC and conservative think tanks were hacked. So those are the two questions. But he's not a constitutional expert. And I did send Dr. Bill talked about it a little bit today. And I did send him an email that he didn't have a chance to get to. But I would love to hear his take on this. Where Mueller said, now maybe he was just repeating the DOJ protocol or policy, but he did come out and say that it is unconstitutional to indict a sitting president, which obviously I don't agree with. But well, and you can't even charge or keep a charge under seal either.
Hey, Scott, you got something you want to say? Bring it on, man.
All right, I'm also a D.C. area native, though I haven't lived there for
a good number of years. 20 years, sir.
And I'm old enough to remember Watergate, and I know how I remember the day Spiro Agnew had to resign and the circumstances surrounding that, out of which, if I'm hearing it correctly, this opinion of the Justice Department at the time wanted to keep Nixon from being in any way threatened because things were kind of perilous in terms of succession. But that's not my main question. Mueller has a bit of gall, whether he's speaking governmentese or coded language or not, to suggest that the only remedy left is for the Congress to do its job, which, given the state of things in the Senate, versus the democratically controlled House, it amounts to civics masturbation. Basically, there will be hearings
gridlock. Yeah.
It's called a pun.
Wait a minute. If he's subpoenaed and he testifies, is it through the House Judiciary or is it before the Senate?
It depends on who issues the subpoena. I would guess it would be House Judiciary in that.
Okay. Well, here's another.
But here's my other question. It seems that there's a parallel track or two having to do with, haven't there been grand juries impaneled to cover this situation? And I remember I think it was May or June of 74, they brought down the indictments of the people connected to Watergate and in the Nixon's administration. And Nixon basically turned out to be an unindicted co-conspirator. What do we know of the grand jury's efforts, the grand juries that have been impaneled all this time?
Well, what's his name? The guy who wrote the tell-all book that scorched the shit out of the Trump administration earlier. What was it? Mm-hmm. Michael Wolff.
He's
got a new book, and he says that. In that book, he alleges that Mueller had a draft indictment of Trump. Somewhere along the way, Mueller has claimed that that is not true.
Yeah, well, Peter Carr said that today, said that he refuted that. So I guess the special counsel office is still operating.
Well, may I make an observation?
Do anything you want. It's a regular joint.
Yep, my dad was a combat Marine. I understand Mr. Mueller was a combat Marine. There's some tough SOBs, man. And I've never heard Dad's voice quiver like Mueller's voice was quivering today unless his mom or his dad died. That's the only time I ever heard his voice quiver like that. Now, you can't make a blank statement about everybody. I got the impression that he was scared. Maybe he was scared of speaking in front of such a huge audience.
Nah.
I don't. No.
No, I do agree. I think his voice sounded very strained and very high-pitched.
Shaky.
Yeah, very shaky. But, you know, I do have to ask, though, that I wonder, because he's out there, though. He's exposed, because every Sunday he goes to church with his wife. He's right there walking on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Him and his wife and Mr. and Mrs. Barr.
Well, no. I haven't seen them there. I don't know if they attend the same church, because
there was testimony that they go to church together. Barr testified to that in his confirmation hearing.
I've read that they attend a Bible study thing together, but I wonder about that. I mean, I hate to give Trump any more power than he deserves, because I think he's full of shit about the whole mafia thing. I think it's an act. I don't think he has the courage or the connections for that. I think that's, maybe I'm wrong. But,
well, he's been involved in construction in New York City for decades. Mm-hmm. And the conventional wisdom is that you don't build squat in New York City without running up against the mob somewhere along the way. Now, what Andrew McCabe said in the interview that he recently gave is that he behaves that way, and you can't help wondering why, and then specifically points out, look at the relationship with Deutsche Bank. Andrew McCabe, who was on the Russian mob beat for years, says, look at Deutsche Bank. All the defaults, all the failures, and for some reason or another, Deutsche Bank keeps giving him loans. And along the way, Deutsche Bank gets busted, stone cold busted, for laundering some $80 million in rubles.
Well, then maybe his walking on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue on Sunday is actually being out in the open, and that's safer, maybe. I don't know.
Tell that to the guy that got poked with the umbrella. Yeah. Got a bad reason for that.
I'm not trying to be facetious, but I'm trying to understand, because I think that Bob's angle on the speech today is very, very interesting. He does have a granddaughter, and so maybe there is something to that.
Or maybe it's something as simple as, hey, nice pension you got there. Be ashamed if something happened to it.
Be pitiful there, Bob.
Him and his wife. Terrible.
He didn't say he was
worth millions. I don't think money's ever been an issue for Robert Mueller.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think so either.
I don't think he'd take that kind of action anyway, because it would cement his demise if he tried to jerk Mueller's retirement or some shit like that. You know, it would just hurry us all along. I don't know, Bob. I'm ready to just, you know, get on Google and search tar and feathers and see, make sure there's a good stock out there.
Well, no kidding, but I'm trying to find. I think it's through ProPublica. You'll find this this McCabe interview.
Okay.
And it's worth a look. And what he says, I'm looking for it now. I opened it and then I closed it. Among other things, he said there are these cryptic little moments in the interview. It's with a woman from WNYC and a woman from ProPublica. And he says, listen, there are still FBI agents out there whose names Donald Trump does not know and you don't know. And they're still working, and I hope they can keep working.
Well, interesting little comment.
Got a quick question. Was Congress given the redacted version of the report or the unredacted?
The redacted.
Redacted.
Yeah.
Okay.
The same book I got.
if it was heavily redacted, and here's my thought on this, and this is what occurred to me when he was saying that, repeating that he wasn't going to testify before Congress. He also stated he was retiring, he was going back to private life. Well, if he's a private citizen, there's nothing stopping Congress subpoenaing him.
Right, and he's not. And,
I said they're going to do it.
If he reads the full report that's unredacted before Congress, wouldn't that way be a way to give them the full information they need because they're being stonewalled by the DOJ?
I'm all for subpoenaing him if you're giving him a subpoena.
Well, so there's the question. Will he do a Hope Hicks? Will he do a Bill Barr? Will he do a Steve Mnuchin and reject a subpoena? Will he go under the bus for Donald Trump?
He was asking Congress to do their job and
refuse to read the redacted parts. That's another option he has.
That was my thought, is that that would be a way of giving Congress a legal way to give them the information they need because they're not getting the information they need through the DOJ. That was how I read it.
Well, there's also the possibility that he was just the wrong person to do this. Because, you know, the thing that people, applaud about Robert Mueller is that he's saved by the book. You know, he follows protocol and the laws and everything else. He's very straight-laced. So I think from his speech today, it's pretty damn clear that, you know, he was bootstrapped from the beginning, that there was no way he was ever going to indict him from the get-go, and that's who he is. You know,
I took it that his hands were tied the minute he was hired as special counsel.
That's what he said.
Hey, everybody, I'm gonna jump in here. Please, when people are making a point, let the person finish making that point before you speak, or else this just turns into a jumble of static for people who are listening and not, you know, directly participating in the conversation. So just bear that in mind, please. That does not mean
I'll break out the lightsaber.
Don't make Sparky do that. He doesn't like
it. Is there anything to be learned by the timing of this? It sure seems to be rather random that he popped up. I don't recall anything leading up to this in recent news cycles.
No, it just hits you like a snowball in the summertime, you know.
But is there anything to be taken from the timing, I wonder?
I think Mueller spent way too much time in the background trying to work with people who weren't going to work with him until he was forced out and to give a public statement.
Well, the Washington Post didn't mince any words. The headline reads, "Mueller should have said this weeks ago." It's signed merely by the editorial board and says special counsel Robert S. Mueller III broke his long silence on Wednesday, telling a news conference that his two-year Russia investigation is closed and that he did not have anything to say publicly beyond what was written in his report released last month. But the key passages he chose to highlight underlined the dishonesty of President Trump and Attorney General William P. Barr in seeking to dodge and mischaracterize his conclusions. And they go on at some length, and they close saying, "Mr. Mueller's statement made it more clear than ever that the responsibility for continuing to pursue the question of Russia's interference and of Mr. Trump's attempts to obstruct investigation of it now lies with Congress. Democrats are aggressively taking on the latter issue, but as Mr. Mueller indicated, they must not neglect the reality that the Kremlin has already damaged U.S. democracy and that intelligence officials are concerned that Moscow has not been deterred from future meddling. That should not be a partisan conclusion, and addressing it should not be a partisan concern." And that goes back to something that Mueller said insofar as he noted everyone should be concerned about Russian interference. Now, I want to go back for anybody who wants to see it. Let me find it here. The McCabe interview is at ProPublica. It's dated today. And here's the quote that I was looking for about Russian interference and so forth. Just give me a second.
What was that ding?
That might be me. I'm getting a chat thing coming in. Apologies.
Okay. My turkey's done.
Let's see. One of the reporters asks, there's a mountain of evidence suggesting a Trump-Russia thing, but so far no one, not us, not you, not Robert Mueller, has been able to say what that thing is. As you have puzzled over this relationship, does it seem possible that there in fact isn't a thing? McCabe answers, I think that mountain of evidence that you referred to makes it strongly likely that there is a thing. Does that mean we'll ever figure out what it is? No, but it certainly means we should keep looking. And then he points out Deutsche Bank. It's almost impossible to look at those series of relationships and transactions and defaults and failures followed by more and more loans. There has to be a thing at the core of that relationship between the Trump Organization and Deutsche Bank. Do we know what it is just yet? No. Will we ever? I'm not sure. But we certainly should keep looking. And that goes back to what I've been saying all along, that we cannot jump the gun on impeachment until we have that evidence. Okay? We need the Deutsche Bank response to the subpoena to be ruled upon, and then they have to respond to it and turn over the documents. And there has been, it was just this past week, I think, that Deutsche Bank, or at least earlier this month, Deutsche Bank had its annual general meeting in Frankfurt. And there is a massive upheaval inside that organization and a swearing that they will do better at A, cleaning house, and B, following the law. Because one of the things pointed out, one of the things pointed out, John, in the report that I heard, was that basically when Deutsche Bank decided to become a world player in the commercial market, that London and New York, the London and New York branches essentially took over and started dictating to the home office in Frankfurt. Well, they're trying to reel that back in now. So I really do think we have to wait on that, because that may, at least from what McCabe is saying,
that's a key to
a
lot of stuff.
Yeah, that may be the for all effective purposes, that may be the revelation of the Nixon taping system by by Butterfield.
That very well could be the smocking gun, as Trump wrote in one tweet.
Right, smocking gun.
Yeah,
I'm not that convinced that it doesn't have something to do with Kennedy, Justice Kennedy's retirement either.
Well, Justice Kennedy's son was in the New York office of Deutsche Bank.
Yep, there you go.
Then this statement from McCabe: I think there's no question that this president, that his approach to perceived adversity, he attacks people personally. He will stop at nothing to undermine reputations and employment and everything else. That's certainly what I've experienced. And remember, Andrew McCabe's a Republican. And Peter Strzok and others, I think, have been on the sharp end of that as well. Then this. This is what I referenced a little bit ago. Am I concerned that there's no one left in the FBI to investigate these sorts of things? No. The investigative experience in that organization is deep and significant and done, hopefully, by people whose names you and the president don't know. So they can continue doing that work carefully and quietly in the way that it needs to be done. Now, the thing that's not in here is a reference to Bill Barr saying that the doors are going to be flung open and he's going to conduct a Stalinist purge of the American intelligence services. I mean, that's the way I read the Bill Barr business.
You know, and maybe it's true that all the sustained verbal abuse, I've read a few articles that have said that the sustained verbal abuse by Trump towards the special counsel and his team, maybe it did in fact have an effect.
I think they just were hamstrung the entire time that they were trying to investigate because Trump was scared of what they were going to find. You think of all the attacks we had to listen to from Trump and the Republicans when he was conducting his investigation.
Well, right off the bat, if they were under the impression that we can't investigate the president, what the fuck? What are you even doing there then? Just call this whole fucking thing off, man.
Well, he made that clear that they could investigate the president, is that they just simply
And so, in other words, that's a futile act.
Yes.
Right.
He's saying though that they've codified or at least preserved evidence. I think Mueller is banking on, you know, getting that motherfucker indicted and in jail once he's no longer president. Of course, no mention is being made of the 5-year, what is it, 5-year statute of limbs, which is another ridiculous thing.
Wait, didn't Mueller also farm out things that he had found during his investigation so that other people could prosecute or pursue cases?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard anything about that. Yeah.
If Barr doesn't scuttle it.
No, go, Darlene.
If Barr doesn't scuttle those investigations.
He can scuttle the SDNY?
Sure. He's the attorney general.
Oh, God.
That's what's frightening.
And there's no way, we have no way of knowing that he hasn't already done that. So, you know, just take that into consideration.
FBI agents whose names no one knows. I'm surprised that the FBI isn't going for Trump baldface for all the attacks that man has done on the FBI.
Well, that could be the counterintelligence piece that Adam Schiff is trying to get and has succeeded so far, well, recently at least. That could be the counterintelligence that we really don't know much about.
I just got the impression today that the whole thing was just taken out of Trump's control today. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't think so by any stretch of the imagination. I would hope so, but I don't think so. Because, see, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags came trundling out and did a press gaggle with her one good eye and her gimlet eye, and declared that the investigation was over because there was no collusion and because he wasn't indicted, even though he couldn't be indicted.
No better shit shiner in the world than Sarah.
Basically, are repeating the same stuff he's been saying. And all this Mueller coming out saying what he's saying, to me, only indicated that Trump is far from reality. He's only contrasting how far this man is from reality. And all his people are, you know, who speak for him are also removed from reality.
Meanwhile, note coming in from James in Illinois, that Mueller shaky voice thing, I think James is... putting a check mark in over there on your side of the equation, Megan. I get that way myself. It ain't about being scared. It's about wanting to break someone in half. Someone goes lying about me. I'm smart enough not to act. It doesn't mean I don't want to. The Don is a fucking sign hanger and a check kiter. He wouldn't make a pimple on the ass of a builder. He doesn't know righty-tighty from left field. I'd like to see someone ask him some questions about basic carpentry. Please, everyone, don't give him any credit for being any more than a scammer.
I kind of agree.
Bob, what was the source of the Deutsche Bank meetings? And because I was in the kitchen busy when you were talking about
it. It was this morning on Morning Edition.
Okay. All right. I'll look for that.
Because I was going through the parking lot in Shame on Me McDonald's. Because I had to take the boy.
Well, you're addicted to those hash brown patties. That's what it is.
Well, it's more of a gravy thing, but that doesn't make it any better. But I tried to be. I tried to be good.
Get all that into a hypodermic, you'd be pleased. You'd be thrilled.
Well, I tried to be good today, though, and I just went. I went with a couple of their god awful breakfast burritos because that's mostly just eggs and sausage. So maybe it's not quite as horrible, but I'm sure it is. Somebody will send me an email. Go, oh Jesus, that's the worst thing you could order, Bob. Goddamn. By the way, note coming in from Alma, Trump is a money launderer for the mob. Also, it isn't him and his wife going to church, but he and his wife. Okay, sorry. That's on me. I try to watch my grammar, but I don't always succeed. And one last thing, thanks going out to Tim. Thank you, Tim, for jumping in. That means we got 325 left for the evening, having knocked out the two challenges. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, go ahead.
And Starlene, yeah, I was wondering, what do you make of the fact that Mueller alerted the Office of the President, alerted Trump that he was going to be making a statement today, but he did not say anything to Nancy Pelosi or anyone in the Congress because they seemed pretty caught off guard?
I think if he's the institutionalist that we say he is, then his duty to notify lay within the executive branch. Mm. I mean, that's the best I can read out of it.
Yeah.
One wonders if they got an advance copy of the statement.
Well, if you think that it wasn't his and that it was written for him, then they probably did. Because they came out pretty quick with their spin.
Yeah, it was no time at all. And I'm sorry, it just the way he read that thing, even if he was smoking hot angry, the way he read that thing comes off as being a thing he did not write. I mean, or am I just do I just need a Thorazine dart in the neck? Maybe don't answer.
No,
that.
I think he's not used to being out. I just don't think he's used to being out and making public speeches as much, even though he's done it before. I just don't think he's just not a good speech maker. I don't know.
There's something in the high pitch, the strained voice. That's definitely there.
He's testified numerous times before congressional committees.
Yes.
Without any problem. And that takes, it's actually a lot harder than giving a 10-minute speech.
But has he done it before with this kind of partisan divide and hype and spin?
Sure. Yeah. He did it after 9/11. He did it awesome. In 2013 when the Republicans had sworn that they would not let Barack Obama accomplish anything.
The FISA stuff, he's had to deal with the FISA stuff.
But now it's like a fever pitch right now. I mean, this is as worse as we've all seen it.
Well, there are devices that you can run audio through and pick up on stress or veracity, like the voice stress veracity analyzer. Mm-hmm. They're said to be quite accurate, I mean, compared to other investigative tools.
Well, look, just I mean, it's available. Go to YouTube. Just search Mueller statement 529. It'll pop. Watch it. And don't just watch it like we watch TV. Watch it. Oh, is it going to be like that tonight? Watch
for clues. Subtle.
Watch it. Watch it for content. I would dearly love to know. He was obviously not reading from a teleprompter. So I'd love to know who it was he kept glancing at out of the corner of his eye over stage left. I mean, we had some cute little quips about, you know, the guy with the gun and, you know, whatever. But
I think that's just what he does. I've seen him do that before.
Well, Darlene, if you did that and an FBI agent was interviewing you, they'd say, "What are you trying to hide, buddy?"
Well, that is true. He does put his hands behind his back a lot, which is supposedly body language that you're hiding something.
You know, what's with the shifty eyes there, bud? Because that's what it was. He was shifty-eyed. And I know it's not... And understand, when I said Agnes looked at this, and I did not ask her a leading question. I didn't say, look for this. I said... watch this, because she had to take Margie to the doctor today, and she didn't get to watch it live. And so I said, no, watch it. I said, just, you know, I want you to watch this with me. And I just turned it on, and it was like a faucet got opened, and Agnes said, what's he scared of?
Mm.
Who's he looking at out of the corner of his eye? Why is he doing that finger on his face tell that in anybody else on earth is he's lying? And you'd think that a G-man, you know, the head G-man, wouldn't do those things. It's
Mrs.
discordant.
Mueller
it's
and the family
it's,
dog.
It's discordant. It's like, it's like hearing somebody. Well, you know that Bugs Bunny thing, you know, oh the endearing young charms, where there's dynamite wired to the piano.
Mm.
And Bugs goes up and plays da 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 da, and he does it so many times that Yosemite Sam gets frustrated and goes, "Now you damn fool rabbit, da 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 da, boom!" It was jarring.
Yeah, discordant. But again, I've seen him do this for many years prior to that. But the voice is what's getting me. His voice sounded abnormally high pitched and strained, and that's where I think there's something in that. But the putting his finger to his face, looking off to the side, I've seen him do that plenty of times. So maybe he's been a liar for years. I don't know. Because I've seen that.
Maybe he was trying to withhold everything that saying from what he knew. And he can't tell the public. And that could come across as withholding could also be mistaken as lying or lie by omission.
It is a lie. The type of lie.
Well, and
money is on Mrs. Trump, Mrs. Mueller, and the family dog trussed up in the corner off camera.
In some remote location, being held by Trump's head of security, the guy who can't utter a complete sentence.
Well, Mueller is an old guy, so maybe it's just old age. He's just stressed, and he's probably really shy. He never talks in public.
He's about a year and a half. He's about a year and a half older than Trump, Tim.
Oh, well, he's not as stupid, though.
No.
What, stupid is a preservative? No, I mean, he doesn't say, look how we talk about Trump when he says something like covfefe or hamburger.
Yeah, or oranges.
But have you noticed the recent pictures of Trump in Japan? He looks terrible. He looks puffy. He looks edemic. His face is sweaty. He did not look well. And I'm wondering if there's another drug that's in his soup that he's taking. Who knows?
They had to. Anytime he travels abroad, they have to dose him to the gills.
Yeah, I mean, and feed him hamburgers. Yeah, I give him the hamburgers. I couldn't believe that that's all he ate when he's in Japan.
It was hamburgers?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Bob was talking about that yesterday.
That's all the guy can digest.
He went golfing, and they served him hamburgers in the country club grill. When he sat
it
down,
like y'all saying hamburgers.
I'm sorry. What?
It sounds like you're actually saying hamburgers.
I am saying hamburgers.
No, burgers.
No. Hamburgers. Hamberders. Do you not know how to spell? That's how he spells them. Hamburgers.
It's ham and birds all together in one saucy hamburger.
Yeah, hamburgers.
There's no fiber in that diet. How does he shit? Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty much dinner. Dinner just went to hell. Thanks, Steve. The people in the central daylight time zone just love you, Steve.
Let's not start talking about sphincters this time.
But when he sat down to dinner with the Emperor and Empress of Japan, high, you know, remember that's the oldest royal house in the world. They served Côte de Bœuf, Turbo Meunier, and an ice cream shaped like Mount Fuji. He ate the beef and the ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gross.
Send that man to tea with the queen, Bob.
But, you know, I...
You can take the...
Now, okay, so I want to take the conversation in a slightly different direction. After I thank Alma for getting us down to $300. Thank you, Alma. We got $300 to go, and I ran across this over the weekend, and it seems like this is an appropriate time to bring it up because the only reason that we're having this conversation is because we recognize that this is a criminal president. He's not incompetent. He is openly a criminal. And he doesn't care who knows it, and he dares, he'll defy anyone who dares to... Right. And so we got this bullshit, fake civics lesson today about things that are in the Constitution that are not even there at all. And meanwhile, via The Hill, 2 days ago, well, let me just read you what they've got. GOP senators say that if the House passes articles of impeachment against President Trump, they will quickly quash them in the Senate, where Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has broad authority to set the parameters of a trial. While McConnell is required to act on articles of impeachment, which require 67 votes or a two-thirds majority to convict the president, he and his Republican colleagues have the power to set the rules and ensure the briefest of trials. I think it would be disposed of very quickly, said Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham, not even bothering to dodge the goddamn lightning bolt. If it's based on the Mueller report or anything like that, it would be quickly disposed of. Senator John Cornyn, who is number two, not just behind Mitch McConnell, but, you know, number two, said nothing would come of impeachment articles passed by the House. It would be defeated. That's why all they want to do is talk about it. They know what the outcome would be. And then this, if this was Moran Monday, this was actually in the Moran Monday stack. Fom Tillis of North Carolina, maggot, booger eater, teabagger. Why on earth would we give a platform to something that I judge as a purely political exercise? We have to perform our constitutional duty, but if people think that we're going to try and create a theater that could give you the perception that this is a matter that rises to the level of Watergate, that's nonsense. And this is why Fom Tillis is a goddamn moron. Something I judge as a purely political exercise. This is what is called a tell. And what this tells is that Fom Tillis doesn't know shit from Shinola about the Constitution of the United States. Because guess what the framers of the Constitution said impeachment is? It ain't a criminal proceeding. It ain't a civil proceeding. It is an expressly political proceeding. But Tom Tillis says, it's a political proceeding. And what he means by that is, y'all just doing this because y'all don't like Trump. Y'all don't want America to be great again. When, in fact, he has given himself away as a goddamn idiot because it's the most political process that the Constitution contains. By definition, by design.
But before the Watergate hearing started in Congress, Nixon had a 65% approval rating. After those hearings, he had a 25% approval rating.
Yeah, so what does that say about Trump with his 35% approval rating?
It means that the only way we're ever, and I've said it from the beginning, I don't know how, because I'm running this online. The only way to get to him is to force the Republicans in the Senate to turn on him. That's the only way that this goes through. You're right. We can go through impeachment. We wave the pom-poms and point the fingers and everything, but it does squat until you challenge those Republican senators. And if we don't do it in the House, how do we do that? Do we change those people's mind to stand up for what is right in this country? Because I'm about tired of this shit.
Well,
this is bullshit.
I'm sick to death of it, John. But I also try to come at this from at least the standpoint of someone who had a cup of coffee in law school. And that is that whether it's criminal or civil or impeachment, you cannot convict someone without sufficient evidence.
I agree with that. We have to get the evidence.
And I think that Deutsche Bank data, the Mazars data, the TD Bank data, Wells Fargo data, and Citibank data may well seal his fate, and that's why he is so desperately fighting it. And what he's trying to do...
How long do we have to wait for that?
Well, what Trump is trying to do is get the Democrats to jump the damn gun before... they're trying to get him... He's trying to get him to pull the trigger before they've got the gun loaded. So it'll misfire. How long do we have to wait? Well, the D.C. Circuit said in regard to Mazars that they were going to go... They were going to fast-track it and go faster than either side wanted. They've scheduled our oral arguments for July the 13th, so that means all the briefing will be done in front of that. Whatever ruling comes out of that, it'll go up to the Supreme Court for the October term, which begins the first Monday in October. And so by sometime in October, we should have a ruling on whether or not they're going to... let's say if the D.C. Circuit actually follows the law as it exists and says these subpoenas are valid and we will not quash them, and then the Trump bad lawyers appeal it to the Supreme Court, they got to have 5 votes to get it accepted. And if those 5 votes aren't there, then the D.C. Circuit ruling stands. And the subpoenas must be honored. And that's
delay and delay and delay. That's the game that Donnie plays anyway.
Well, it is, but it's also the system that we have. You can't make it go faster than it goes.
From a different avenue.
The banking information is going to come out however it comes out. We can't wave a wand and make it happen because they're on their own timeline. But it will come out. Truth has a way of coming out. I'm just thinking what to do in the meantime. And let me reiterate 2 TV viewing tips. If you have Netflix, watch or rewatch All the President's Men. And then after you've watched that, go to YouTube and key in Watergate plus 30. It's about a 2-hour documentary. Watch that. It will refresh you in the sense of this will not be insurmountable. We have, and I know it's a different time and different circumstances, but we do have mechanisms that are still functioning. It's just a matter of getting the information and then injecting it into the proceedings. But until we have the information about the banking, watch these 2 things and see if you don't get a reinvigoration in your outlook.
Well, what can impact it now is the same thing that impacted it then, and that is the public voice crying for that.
Bingo.
It is us out here, people.
All right, here's where it stands. It's interesting that in that Hill story that I referenced about how they're going to dispose of impeachment post-haste, tweet-sweet, there's a paragraph that says, national polls show that fewer than 40% of Americans support impeachment proceedings against Trump, while a majority oppose them. That was Monday. Now let's see what the polls say after today. I mean, we can't make public policy based on polling data.
No.
And I don't, you know, you mentioned what Nixon's approval rating was prior to impeachment, John. Yeah. I don't know what the numbers were. Maybe Scott does, of people in supporting impeachment at the time of Watergate. But, you know, the American people never go whole hog behind anything, whether it's the American Revolution, the Civil War. Very seldom do you have massive majority support for earth-shattering things in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't have the numbers at hand, Bob.
Somebody else will do that.
I will tell you this. Several months after the Watergate break-in in June of 72, in November of that year, Nixon was reelected in what I think was the biggest landslide since LBJ beat Goldwater in 64. So there's that. What will need to happen, and will happen as a result of new information coming out into the public discourse. There's a British expression for getting it or for a moment of clarity, and that expression is the penny drops. And when the penny drops, it's an aha moment. It may be an oh shit moment, But overall, it's an aha moment where it reconfigures your understanding of the situation. New information that's good information will do that. And if you look, I'm sure somewhere online there are stats and old records having to do with Nixon's approval rating and the public sentiment regarding impeachment or getting rid of him. We saw those numbers go up in radical ways during the Senate Watergate hearings from spring of 73 through most of the summer. And we also saw them go up in relation to the House Judiciary engaging and bringing articles of impeachment. And then, of course, at the time, we had a functioning Supreme Court that ultimately demanded that the smoking gun tape, among others, was released. And that really put the coffin, the last nail into the coffin. But even then, there were people who who believed that Nixon was getting a raw deal. There's always going to be deniers and naysayers. But anyway, that's...
Well, and
Trump
another...
will always have his maggots.
I highly recommend to anybody who is going to turn, who wants to be a full-on impeachment nerd, to go and read the Senate Manual on Impeachment. How many people in this country even know there is one? It's not like we've had a bunch of them. But what? But there are some surprising things to be found in there. For instance, when the senators sitting as a jury of 100. The triers of fact, when the senators take their oath, they don't even swear to base their decision upon the evidence. They're expressly allowed to base it solely on politics. And what's more, the Chief Justice presides over the trial as the president of the tribunal. But any one of his rulings can be overruled by the senators. He can, for instance, say it is res judicata that Donald Trump resisted and refused to comply with a subpoena. The Republicans in the Senate can then run a motion up the flagpole. I move that we say that the presiding officer is wrong and no, he didn't. All in favor? Aye.
Yeah, I think it would be a farce in the Senate.
No one will be called to testify. Understand that. Not Bob Mueller, not Michael Cohen, not nobody. Not Stormy Daniels, not Karen McDougal, not Felix Sater. None of them. There will not be a single witness called. So that's what we want. You know, that's what we're itching to see.
Who's Karen McDougal?
Playboy.
She's the other porn star.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
There was two.
Oh, I thought that was the woman that was mixed up with Clinton. McDougal.
Yeah, that was Susan.
That was Susan.
Okay, never mind.
Close though. Same last name.
No, what, Darlene?
What do you think of the whole Justin Amash thing? Which seems like a fissure in the, you know, like a little crack of the GOP.
I see. He got a standing ovation at a town hall.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, do you think that's a farce, or do you think there's something real there?
I think there's said it, and he's got no place else but to step forward because he can't back off of that.
And he
needs to be.
John, you are a good soul, and you are far more forgiving than I. I've watched Republicans all my life, and I have never seen a Republican, at least since the era of Watergate, and they only did it then because they recognized that their fat was in the fire. I've never seen a Republican do anything principled in my entire life. So I ask this question.
All right.
Now, down there, Texas way, you've got a Democratic congressman by the name of Al Green.
Right? Yes, we do. Yes.
And Al Green has been
great singer.
Wrong guy. Yes. Al Green.
Different Al Green.
Has been hollering.
Impeach. Can you sing for us, Bob?
Al Green has been hollering, impeach the motherfucker, since January 20th, 2017. Al Green has gone so far as to introduce his own resolution of impeachment. It was defeated.
Well, of course.
But he was undaunted by it. So, hey, Justin Amash, stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once. Hide not thy light underneath a bushel, brother. Craft a resolution of impeachment and present it in the House yesterday if you believe so strongly in what you're saying. Do it.
Let him keep talking.
Right,
the more he challenges the one thing that the Republicans hold so dear in front of their little constituents out there is their patriotism to this country and their so-called rule of law and their moral values, all that bullshit. That goes out the window every time one of those Republicans start standing up and standing their ground and continuing to march forward, unlike some that we have seen before. Like just the other day, I seen old Mitch, who's that guy from Utah? Mitt Romney.
Bishop Willard.
Giving him room. Yeah. Given mealy-mouthed answers to that shit. You need to hold their... That's what they hold dear. They say they're patriotic. They love America and all that shit. Force them to prove it. Keep talking that shit. Well, the man's a liar. He has no integrity.
Here's something that you can take a little bit of comfort in. And I've referred to this before months and months ago after the 2018 elections. But one thing that we did this time around that's different from before is we changed the order of worship, so to speak. Now, you're old enough to remember in the wake of Nixon's resignation in 74, there was a midterm election in which 49 Republican House members got their ass handed to them. Okay. Well, we kind of did that, a version of that in 2018.
Yes.
So I think there, polls notwithstanding, I think there is a sense of the mood of the people, if 2018's election has any bearing on the conversation.
That's what I believe, and that's what I want to keep pushing, is that wave that pushed up in the midterms in 2018, all the excitement that built up to taking the House. We need to take that same enthusiasm, that same patriotic feeling of taking this country back from a maniac, a wannabe king, to somebody who is obviously unfit to be in an office.
Yeah,
take that away from him, but we have to take the Senate along with it, or we're spinning our wheels, baby.
The first rule is to believe in your heart of hearts and behave consistently with that belief that the job is doable.
I'm doing it, Scott.
We came very close in November of 2018. We didn't miss the Senate by much, okay? And the map this time around for the Senate races is going to be more advantageous to the Democrats than it's been in a while. So,
I live in Texas. We take a defeat and we make it a battle cry to win a nation.
That's true.
That's what we did
at the
Alamo, baby. Yeah. We lost it. But it became the motivation, baby, that carried it through.
I think we have a good chance of taking the Senate 2020.
Hold on. There's taking the Senate, and then there's being able to do something with the Senate. But I want to back up to the Justin Amash thing for a minute. I'm not just trying to pick a fight with you, John. That's not the way I roll.
No, I know I'm wishful thinking,
I'm not saying you're wishful thinking. I want us to delve deep into this because if you look at the response in the media to Justin Amash, it's not, basically the Republicans just go, him, he's a nut. And that's what they've done. Yeah, he's like that. He's a lone wolf. You know. No,
wait a
minute. Well, hold on. Hold on, please. Hold on. Who bears the brunt of Justin Amash? They're not running out and beating the tar out of Kevin McCarthy with just Justin Amash. They're not wearing out Steve Cantaloupe's King or Louis Asparagus Gohmert. They're beating Nancy Pelosi over the head with just Justin Amash. I see it every day. So it looks to me, or it feels to me, like the kind of rat fucking that the Republicans are so good at.
Yeah.
Well, to add to that, on CNN, they had some whiny gopper who was pushing for a Justin Amash to be president, the presidential candidate.
Oh, I heard that. I heard that today that they're saying, oh, well, and he said, wow, you know, I wouldn't rule out a run for the presidency on the libertarian ticket. And there's that magic word, libertarian.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm jaded and cynical, but I've seen too many Democrats rat fucked by too many Republicans to think that there's anything noble or honorable in what he's doing.
So he's at least they're thinking of another candidate for president, and they don't want Trump. There's
so
at least
reiterate exactly what you're saying and what we all say. The Republican Party has become a party of liars, cheats, thieves, and con men. That's it. There's nothing else left in there.
You left out arsonists and cut purses.
Arsonists. Yes, there you go. Whatever profession you want. It's disgusting. That's because I am. I like to consider myself somewhat patriotic, baby. I love my country. I served my country. I don't want to see this shit die because we're listening to a bunch of con men who are obvious liars. You call them on that shit, and you keep calling them out. You keep putting the pressure on those that support him. That's, you know, I don't know any other way. I'm just a working man out here, baby. That works, baby. I don't want to talk to your ass. You're a lying piece of shit. You know, that's you keep pushing that on them. I don't know, so, Bob. I get upset, buddy. That's, you know.
I know.
Amish
a dupe? Like a note? He's a dupe? It's like he is a clueless dupe or a knowing dupe? Like he's part of the scam?
Amash? Yeah, he's running a number. He's making life miserable for Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. Again, Nancy Pelosi's catching all the heat for everything he's saying, not the Republicans. Because they stick a microphone in front of Kevin McCarthy's face and he says, he's a nut. Fuck off. And then, they stick the microphone in front of Nancy Pelosi and make her keep talking for 30 minutes.
She must know. She's too seasoned not to know that that's what's going on, don't you think?
I do think.
I would like to think so.
Yeah. And so that's why I keep counseling, if that's what I'm doing. I keep saying that we cannot allow those forces that just want to pull back the hammer and squeeze the trigger, even if there's no powder and ball in the musket, because you only get one shot.
Well, let's start pouring that powder.
Well, that's what's happening.
Wait a minute.
That's what's happening.
My question is
what's happening in the Mazars case. That's what's happening in Deutsche Bank. That's what's happening in Citibank. TD Bank already turned over their stuff. So did Wells Fargo. All these subpoenas.
Well, we're damn near can see the whites of their eyes, so we best start loading real quick.
I thought Congress would be, again, if they started proceedings, that they would be open to getting more information, but only if they start open the proceedings. That's the impression I got.
Well, but that's what I...
Yeah, I didn't say not because I didn't want to show my ignorance, but that's what I thought. If they opened the proceedings.
Well, that's a select committee, okay? But you don't have to necessarily have a select committee doing all this. You've already got financial services and judiciary and government oversight and reform doing very good jobs. And the thing is, by having that many different groups coming at them, that means they're fighting a three-front war. And the rule, you know, the Sun Tzu and all of the military geniuses and von Clausewitz and everything, you know, rule one is never divide your forces. Well, we have forced, by virtue of letting these separate committees do their work and go their way, we're forcing them to divide their forces. The Republican National Committee is spending money like a drunken sailor on these terrible lawyers. And they're having to defend in multiple different committees. I'm happy with that, because then all the evidence that they gather can be turned over to a select committee when all the evidence has been gathered. What comes first,
the cart or the horse?
I mean, we don't even have the redacted stuff from the Mueller report.
But do you really think that even if they get the solid evidence that you're talking about through Deutsche Bank or Capital One or whatever, I still don't think that the Senate is going to do the right thing. No. I think that it might be enough for them, like I had suggested, for them to draft up a real solid articles of impeachment, withhold the vote, and do what John is suggesting, try to get not just the Senate, but a super majority in the Senate, and then roll out those articles of impeachment if Trump should steal the election a second time and impeach the motherfucker.
Well, it's an election year. You hang that around the necks of the Republicans that are fighting for their seats. And it's, what, 22 seats up for grabs? You make them answer for that. Mitch McConnell's already holding up bills, and there's a freaking gopher holding up relief aid for all the people in the Midwest that are being hammered by all these storms. You make them fight and back them into a corner during election year.
That's what I say, baby. That's exactly what I say.
Sure.
I don't think it's contradictory.
I know it might be a feel, but if you don't storm the hill, you know, baby, right. You're never going to take the hill. You know, I
can't get past this. I don't know if it's House or Senate. Where there's one guy, congressman, that's holding up aid funding.
No, it's two. It's two.
Roy Chip, he's out of Texas. He's the first one.
Disgusting, yeah. And then
yeah, it is, because Donnie ain't got money for his border wall.
Yeah, it's Chip Roy and it's Thomas Massey. Chip Roy of Syphilis Springs, Texas, and Thomas Massey of Flattened Mountain, Kentucky.
Yes.
And I thought he was
from Tennessee.
He's Kentucky, and so the fact that there's two of them means that there's a conspiracy, and they're not being told by Kevin McCarthy not to do this, but then they trot out a couple of Republicans here and there. Who say, well, this is just, I guess the clown show showed up.
I think it's a damn well result of Donnie's having a temper tantrum out there in the Rose Garden. He's not going to work with any Democrats at all on anything, and he wanted to dump that to prove a point. So
right.
He's got
a couple of
low-life Republicans down there to do.
Right, and these dirtbags are telegraphing to Donnie, John, it'll be okay to veto this. Because it's going to be voted on. All they were trying to do was, while everybody was out for Memorial Day, let's just get this little business taken care of as just a quick resolution. But the problem is, if one person objects, it can't go through. And so
out there in Oklahoma and Ohio, y'all pay close attention to this.
Right.
Because it's going to affect you sooner or later, baby.
And Trump has gone on record saying that he supports that relief bill, those X number of billions of dollars for the people who were affected like two or three or four hurricanes or tornadoes ago. So who are they playing to? Because Trump's already said that he supports it.
Scott, he's a fucking liar.
There you go. He said that before he threw his little hissy fit and pulled his panties up. He said that before. And after that, no, baby. He found a way to stop it.
He found it
in the way of a couple of cockroaches.
You can't believe what he says. He will contradict himself the next time around. He'll say exactly the opposite of what he said before. He keeps everybody, that's what he does. He sows chaos and keeps everybody on eggshells and tinder hooks. So you don't know really what ends up.
Okay,
got to present his case to the people in 2022. You talk about these House members and senators who are up in 2020. Well, Trump is too. How in the fuck is he going to sell this to people? Because who are they going to believe? What he
you
says or doesn't say?
Those senators.
Hell, Missouri is another place that I used to live, Jefferson City. Have you seen the horrendous shit that's gone on there in the past?
Jeff City got
Tulsa
flattened.
Tulsa is another place I lived.
There
where
you
the
go,
same.
Ben.
I mean,
and
these
here
people
you,
are
and here you see your
for,
government. Shutting down a disaster relief bill for people because they didn't get what they want to build a wall or some bullshit like that, trying to hang something on that has nothing to do with the suffering that you're going through out there. It all
well,
has to do with politics, baby. And
ultimately,
that's what we have to move from.
Less than 18 months from now, a good chunk of the public is going to call bullshit on all of this stuff.
I hope so, baby.
And God bless them for doing it. Because,
Okay. Hang on.
All bullshit on this.
Hang on just a second, because I'm a little ray of fucking sunshine. I want to do this here in a minute. I want to thank Steve and Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. Cletus went out and dug up a bone, so we're down to $290. That's tremendous. Hopefully, we can put on a little bit of a push and get this all finished and pay the damn bill that has to be paid to keep the program on the air, and I got to pay it immediately after the program's over. So if we can do that, that'll be
and
awesome.
And it's those donations that keep this conversation going, people. That's what is so critical on this. Bob doesn't want to have to ask for this money, but that's what has to do to pay the bills to keep this conversation going. If this conversation dies, baby, our democracy can die because it just cuts the conversation off. It's important.
There aren't, and I'm not, thank you, John, and I'm not saying that I'm anything special, but this community is.
Well, we think you are.
Well, I appreciate it. This community's special, and there aren't enough, progressive, liberal outlets out there that we can afford to lose any of them, plain and simple.
No, so it's critical. When he's asking you for a small donation or something, it's critical that you chip in because that's your. They say money is free speech, baby. Use your free speech in this situation, and support the progressive voices that are out there, because it's important.
You don't have to break the bank. $5, $10,
no, anything's
appreciated.
Baby.
Every dollar makes it
that much easier. And baby, I'll tell you what. From somebody I've received $1 and $2 donations, and it warms my heart every time I do. Because I know the person that sent that that's all they have. And I'm honored to get that. You know,
what's the balance right now? Well, what's the amount again?
Well, we're trying to get down from 290.
290, baby. That's split up amongst a whole lot of a Horn family. We could do that in no time, baby.
Yeah.
Is that for the week or is that for today?
That's for done. That's done for the month and quit. I mean,
and then
it was just a brutal ass month, car repairs, doctor appointments, and unlooked for shit like that.
Oh, it happens.
I know you got hammered, Steve.
Yeah, man, it comes out of nowhere. When you're least prepared for it, well, I guess you're never really prepared for it, but it seems like when you're really down, scratching the sand, that's when you'll get hit,
Well, here's an amount that should be possible for anybody listening. Some years ago, I figured out the weight of a penny and what a pound of pennies would represent in cents. And it works out to $1.81 worth of pennies, 181 pennies. Now, I'm not saying pull the wheelbarrow up or push the wheelbarrow up to Bob's house and dump out 181.
But if you have one, feel free.
But if you can spare $1.81, how many of those would it take to meet what the 290?
Well, right, that's what
wouldn't take that many.
What I talk about constantly about the ultimate grand goal here is to have 400 people who kick in $10 a month, and that works out to less than half the cost of a McDonald's hash brown patty.
Small price to pay, people. I'm telling you.
Yeah, about 40 cents a program. And that covers being able to do this program and produce Dr. Bill as well. So, you know, it's less than
so it's worth,
less,
people.
It's less than 12 cents an hour.
Besides,
damn, Bob, brown, you cheat.
Hash browns are carbs. Good. You don't want to eat carbs, so might as well just give the money for the hash browns.
There you go. Right. You'll be saving your health anyway.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I was type 2 diabetic. You don't want to go there, man.
But anybody who tells you that your dollar's not important, baby, it is the most important dollar that comes through. Yeah. It's the one that
you can afford. And I know some of you were planning to spend that little bit of pocket change for penny candy. Well, it'll rock.
Well, that shit doesn't exist anymore. There is no penny candy.
So you guys, you guys remember Bazooka Joe?
I mean, here, let me lay it on you. You said penny candy, Scott. Dig this, okay?
Yeah.
An atomic fireball. An atomic fireball costs more than an hour of this program.
Well, there you go. And all I'm saying is, it has been proven scientifically that the horn broadcast will not, I repeat, will not rot your teeth.
And it won't set your mouth on fire, but it will put your mind on fire, baby. It'll light your mind up.
I think Tom, he needs to record commercials for Bob's show.
I do it. I pump it because I know what it is. I do this. You know, I'm smaller than Bob. I'm trying my best to keep this going, but it is. It's a full-time job.
I got a question.
If you're doing this, you don't have time to do nothing else.
Bob, when are you going to go video, or don't you like your face?
I hate the no. I recognize the need to go video.
Bob's a handsome dude. He could.
Oh, yeah, you look
shut
great.
Shut up! I got a face
you
made for radio.
Like, you look like Robert E. Lee. You look like Robert E. Lee.
Well, now you're just being shitty.
Wow!
Well, he's a Southern gentleman.
I make no qualms about it, Bob. When I'm on that camera, buddy, I know what I look like. I ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. I'm not here to be pretty.
Well, I mean, you know, I did it. I did it a couple of times when I was on the road with the ACAC, and all I could think was don't pick your nose, don't pick your nose, don't pick your nose.
You know why I do video, Bob?
Yeah, because I just
because
don't
only what I say.
I don't ever
I want to come through in my emotions through my. You can see it in my eyes, baby. When I'm pissed.
I don't ever want there to be a YouTube video. I don't ever want there to be a YouTube video of me out there, like there is of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger eating future king of America. I don't want there to be a video of me with a booger slowly running out of my nose until, frog-like, I shoot my tongue out and go, I don't want that.
Bob, I saw you on with Sarah Devlin. You look fine with Sarah Devlin.
There goes dessert.
I have a checklist, Bob. Blowing my nose right before I go on is one of them on my checklist because I've learned that. You know, I don't want to be sniffing and get everything out or watch that camera.
Wait a minute. Didn't you have a Facebook picture of you smiling like a little kid at Christmas while you were before getting barbecues at Trader Joe's or right before you went into a Trader Joe's?
Well, I wasn't getting barbecues, but I think I may be going into Trader Joe's or something like that. But, yeah.
You look like a little six-year-old boy about to Christmas open gifts at Christmas Eve.
Well, that's because I ain't got no Trader Joe's. I heard Tracy in there. What, did I hear you, Tracy?
Yes, you did. I just listened to the white folks talk. That's all.
Okay, but I was going to say,
go,
sense
at all.
Go, Bob, Tracy.
Come on, Tracy.
I'm sorry. No, I mean, y'all been talking.
No, come on back. Come on back.
What you think about what happened? Hey.
No, because I was driving, but I was just, you know, you guys were making, you know, we were talking about Mueller and then, you know, everything else has been, you've been talking about, but what's frightening was how Bob talked about the booger. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's just like, that's just nasty. But just listening to you guys, I was enjoying listening to the different perspectives of everybody's take on Mueller, on, you know, whether he was just, you know, he's been bought and paid for, or whether, you know, he was pissed off, or whether he's just done and he's given Congress a way to finally say, okay, I'm telling you, this is what I'm doing. I'm retiring. I'm going to do this. And I'm, you know, but I'm tired of, you know, just fucking saying say it. He's a fucking crook. He's a piece of shit. And like, and I was listening to this earlier when I was watching, and I was like, wait a minute. And you know, I'm no constitutional scholar, but when he said about the Constitution, I'm like, what is that's a fucking lie. He's not defending the Constitution about a president not being, you know, being indicted and all this bullshit. I'm like, I guess I'm. It's just the level of frustration of all these, all the shit that's going on, and it's just on and on and on. And then I read I caught a quick synopsis of a story talking about McConnell. You know, he's going to make sure that there's going to be another Supreme Court appointment in 2020. Yeah. And I'm like, motherfucker. It's like, you did everything you could. You did everything to keep, make sure that Merrick Garland did not become a Supreme Court. And you rushed through all these things. And now you're going to make sure. Well, who's he going to kill? Is he, you know, is he going to, you know, finally, is he going to put something in Ruth Bader Ginsburg's, you know, vitamin water or something? I mean, who is he? Does he know something that we don't know? That there's going to be somebody leaving the court or somebody dying? I mean, what? That's all I gotta say. With any luck,
Ruth Bader Ginsburg will be the first woman to live to be 120 years old.
You know, I would gladly give her a big hunk of my pancreas if it already wasn't worth a shit.
She can have any part of me usable, baby. Keep that woman alive.
If we're the same blood type, she can have mine. I mean, part of mine too. Because man, if we lose her, it's over.
I heard Mitch McConnell just the other day turn around and tell his little congregation down there in Kentucky that if there's an opening, you bet you will do it.
Even during an election year.
He said he'd do it in a minute. And then he smiled like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush.
Yep.
He did. I got to do some updating here. I got to do some updating and doing some thank you. And we got thanks to send out to David. Thank you, David. And thank you very kindly to Mary Bell. And thanks to Sharon. Thank you to, thank you to Roberto. Thank you, Roberto, very kindly. Thanks to David. And let's see. Again, thanks to Steve and Ms. Karen, little Cletus, and little Twiggy. I have a challenge, courtesy of Charlene in Rhode Island, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and charter member of the Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. If people will meet my $100, I'll throw in another 50. Charlene says, "That's awesome."
All right, I'll meet 50 of that.
Okay, thank you, Darlene. Thank you very much.
You got a beautiful family out here, Bob. You got a beautiful family, Bob.
It is a beautiful family.
Know the importance of your voice, buddy.
And lo and behold, there's Will in Chicago, so that's 25. And let me check here. Oh, Yuki. Yuki just finished off the challenge and a whole bunch more. So when Charlene does her thing, we're done. We're done.
All right. So done. Outstanding.
And thank you.
Don't let that stop you.
Thank you to Anatole.
The bills just start again.
Well, they do, but that'll be the end. That'll be the end of May, and there will be nothing further said about it tomorrow and Friday. So there won't need to be any miracle on Friday.
All right.
A lovely little note from Yuki, who says you're something special. Thank you, Yuki. Thank you so very much indeed. And again, thanks to Anatole. That's tremendous. So that means I get to pay that stupid bill. We get to continue having a program, thunderstorms notwithstanding. And It's a lot. I know John Bridivo knows it's a lot easier to do this thing when you're not sweating. That's fact.
I would, Bob, man. Bob, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. A multitude of thank yous to the Horn family who were able to do this little midweek front porch miracle, because I'm literally down to my last $2.15, and it was either send it tonight to meet the need, which has now been met, or go out later to buy Chirps a can of her special cat food. So Chirps thanks you, and I thank you.
I would never want you to neglect Chirps on account of this.
Oh, I know.
That's awesome.
I can make it on, you know, peanut butter and crackers and rice and beans, but poor little Chirps has become very attentive to what's in her dish. And if it ain't the good stuff, then she looks at me with a intensity of a thousand suns.
Since we've reached the dinner hour in the Mountain Time Zone, let me just point this out. Every morning these days, when Ferg has to go to work, and that's part of the fuel consumption that has dogged me, I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning to have him at work at 7. Makes for some long days, not that I'm jumping up on the cross. But that being the case, I set my alarm for 5:30. And I'm pretty good about going ding when it goes off and I get up. But I found out something this morning. We've got this little cat. She's as cute as a button. She's about half, she's still working out the whole feral cat thing, because she was a little rescued kitten. Her name is Nyx, and that's the goddess of chaos, I'm told by Agnes. And at I know precisely 5:24 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time today, I woke up like I smelled smoke, because little Nyx started making the following sound. And my arm reached up, turned on the light. It was like my father talking about the Second World War aboard the aircraft carrier, when general quarters would sound, and he would sleep with his shoes on, and he was up and gone and running. And I mean, I heard, and the light went
coughing
on, and I was headed for the door, and I grab the cat, woof, too late.
I've got that ringtone on my phone, Bob. Cat really terrible.
But that
I thought you would have that.
It has a profound impact. It really does. I mean, and maybe it's from us having raised kids too, because you know when you hear that, you know there's that. Oh, come on, honey, make it to the toilet.
Yeah, there's no way you can sleep through it.
Because you just know it's gonna.
You can. I found two hairballs under my bed one morning while cleaning. So, I mean, cats do things behind your back. Believe me.
Wait till you get more than one cat and you hear that high-pitched whine that indicates there is about to be a major cat fight. You want to talk about hurling yourself out of bed, man.
I'm having to do that all the time. I feed about 15 of them every morning.
It doesn't even sound human almost, man.
Yeah, it's like when I was in Africa, I heard a tree hyrax once. I was in eastern part of Kenya, and that thing was so scary. It was like a human being screaming. Woke me up 3 in the morning. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, it'll fuck you up. Man.
Oh, I've heard bobcats getting it on in the woods up beyond a golf course where I used to play a million years ago when I played golf. And it was the most unnerving sound I've ever heard in my life. But let me go back, because I think it was Megan who said, I think we can take the Senate in 2020.
Yeah, that was me.
And I hope you're right. But it is not going to happen without a hell of a lot of hard work.
I agree, but I think that Republicans are cutting our work out for us, if they continue jacking up bills and withhold and doing stupid shit like withholding aid from people that, you know, in their own Rust Belt.
And now that, you know, now that for the most part, Chinless Mitch has gutted the filibuster. I mean, the 60-vote majority, yeah. Supermajority rule still exists.
Yeah,
in some areas,
castrated.
I'm sure. Well, I don't know if he would if we took the Senate, would he still be minority leader, or would there be a palace coup to throw his ass out?
I vote for the palace coup. But that's just me.
But I mean, I'm saying, I'm looking at the map right now, and let's look at the Republican seats they are not going to lose.
What are there, 18 up? How many are there? Total?
Well, let's see.
22 are going
9,
up.
10, 11, okay. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I think they're
is that one in Alabama up?
Wow.
Yeah, that's up in Alabama's up. But Alabama's up as a Democrat. That's Doug Jones.
Yeah, that's probably one we might as well just write off.
I don't think so. Because Roy Moore is still saying he's going to run.
Oh yeah, Roy Moore.
Run, Roy. It's bad. It's bad enough that
just keeps giving.
It's
Bob.
Bad.
I've got a question.
Hold on, Tom. It's bad enough.
Okay.
It's bad enough that too stupid to be indicted. You know, Don Jr. Is tweeting at Roy, "Don't run, please, for Christ's sakes, don't run." This morning or yesterday, maybe. Nitwit Nero, his daddy, got behind it too, saying, "I like Roy just fine. He's a great guy, but you know, I don't think you can win. Please don't run. Put America and MAGA ahead of your own desires. So run, Roy, run." Your question, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say, but with all these candidates running for president on the Democratic side, you think a few of them should be running for Senate? You know, I think the Senate has to be won in 2020 just as much as the presidency.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I'll say this much. Bullock in Montana should probably be running for Senate.
Beto O'Rourke should be running for Senate.
I think Beto should be running for Cornyn's seat, but there's a good Democratic candidate, and I know John knows this, who's already announced she's running against Cornyn. But what I'd like to do I'd like to take this map and isolate where the ain't no way a Democrat is going to win seats are. Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma. I'm not so sure about Georgia. Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, South Carolina. I would dare say Idaho. Mike Enzi is retiring in Wyoming, so that's an open seat. South Dakota, I don't know. Nebraska, Iowa, that's an open seat. And the open seats are worth focusing on. So you got an open seat in Wyoming. You got an open seat in Iowa where Grassley's retiring. You got an open seat in Tennessee where Lamar Alexander, the plaid Avenger, is retiring. So 1, 2, 3. Four.
Go Stacey Abrams.
Please, Jesus, let Susan Collins be defeatable in Maine.
No, please.
Because when you
I think she's not going to win re-election.
When you talk,
yeah, that's one that's probably obtainable.
When you talk about taking the Senate, you're talking about getting six, and I would say for the Joe Manchin factor, seven, because you can't count on Joe to vote like a Democrat. You just can't. In West Virginia, Shelley Moore Capito is up for re-election, and rumor has it she may not even run, and she may anoint her creepy boy to run as the Republican in her stead. We don't have a very deep bench in West Virginia, though, so I don't know who would necessarily oppose her as the Democratic nominee or him. Meanwhile, the Democrats have to defend New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Virginia, and I think New Hampshire and Massachusetts are safe. Not sure about New Jersey. Probably Delaware is safe. Virginia's probably safe.
Safe.
Alabama is going to be tough. Illinois is going to be easy. Minnesota, that could be difficult, especially given some of the hard feelings that obtain after Al Franken was run out of the Senate. Michigan, I think that's doable. I think New Mexico is defendable, and so is Oregon. So it's an uphill climb for the Senate. But right there staring at me is Kentucky. And the one who's up for re-election in Kentucky is Chinless Mitch McConnell.
What a mark.
So, Bob,
you don't think he can be voted out?
I didn't say that. No. Darlene, what were you going to say?
Well, so it sounds like I don't think we're going to get anywhere unless we have a supermajority in the Senate. So are you saying there's no shot at a supermajority? Because I don't see where Chuck Schumer is strong enough to buck against somebody like a Mitch McConnell if he manages to get back in again.
Well, if you want a supermajority, you have to win all the Democratic seats that are open. Or not open, but up for re-election. And you have to win all the Republican ones. Now, I'm the one who keeps preaching dare to dream. But you never know what's gonna affect a voter. In your Iowa and your Nebraska and your Kansas and South Dakota, Wyoming, Colorado, those are a bunch of people who can be Idaho. I mean, they're weird, but I mean, Idaho is just the Mormon version.
They're weird.
Well, Idaho is just Idaho is just
a few radios click off.
Idaho is just Alabama with Mormons. Okay, that's it.
It's a wasteland in Idaho.
And members of the white Aryan race.
Hammered with this tariff crap.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. The those Farm Belt states might actually rebel.
Yeah, I hope so.
And one thing to keep in mind, Bob, of all of those currently held by the GOP Senate seats, at one time or another, and some of them as recently as 18, 20 years ago, had Democrats holding those seats. It's not an unheard of thing.
Well, especially with Missouri, Georgia, and Alabama doing the abortion stuff.
Oh, it's crazy. Hey, it ain't just these three. I mean, it's spreading like wildfire, man.
Well, the abortion issue might help the Democrats. They're disenfranchising the women's vote, and enough women are out there going, this is BS.
When Roy Moore came out, you know, he was a pedophile. That changed right quick. So I'm wondering what the issues that they keep going on with this abortion crap. And the farmers keep getting hammered with this trade war nonsense.
Have you seen
the statistic?
In Alabama, though, I want people to bear in mind. And somebody's feeding back at me. Okay. In Alabama, remember this. It not only took a massive turnout of the African-American vote in Alabama. Doug Jones does not become senator without the African-American vote. But on top of the African-American vote, and largely African-American women, you had to have 20% of the GOP say, no, we are not going to vote for a pedophile. So, Tracy, did you say something?
It takes a lot. Sorry, Tracy, go ahead.
No, like you were saying, because, you know, it's, again, you know, I'm preaching to the choir on this, but, you know, the Democratic Party
it's not going to really exist without the black female vote.
No, it doesn't. Yep.
And the fact that, you know, they keep ignoring, you know, there's so many issues, and you and I kind of texted back and forth about this, about, you know, the black votes and how we are not a monolith. And there was this huge, I'm mad that I wasn't a part of it, but there was this huge survey, and 30,000 black people were in the survey about how we felt about the Democratic Party, how we feel about, you know, politics in general, and that basically, they, you know, that politicians don't give a fuck about us. You know, we're tired of them coming to, you know, black parts of neighborhoods and coming to church and trying to say hallelujah and praise Jesus, you know, black inflection.
Hallelujah. You know,
and, you know, sitting at a soul food restaurant with some, you know, ham hocks and fried chicken or whatever with some hot sauce. It's more than that. And it's going to take more than that. And, you know, the same issues that most people have. I mean, of course, we have more issues as far as, you know, police brutality, the prison industrial complex. And, oh, yeah, and that little thing called racism. There's a whole other thing. But if we, you know, if we start focusing on these other issues like healthcare, living wages and stuff like that, maybe, and stop thinking about Trump and impeach, I mean, we want him to fuck out, but, you know, we need to start, well, the politicians need to start speaking to the real issues. And maybe these people, you know, bring up the fact in the Rust, not the Rust Belt, but the Farm Belt, that this motherfucker is keeping you guys from getting paid because of these stupid taxes. I mean, this double taxing, because we're paying for it twice, these fucking tariffs. It's a fucking tax. It's not on anybody else but the people that are being fucked over, and that's the American people. And I'm personally tired of being fucked in the ass with no grease.
Tracy, I'm curious as to this whole abortion issue, how that affects the black female community.
And I wanted to add to that, Tracy, especially the Southern Baptist female community.
Well, see, first of all, black people aren't Southern Baptists.
Right. So that's out the window. Okay.
Yeah, no, we're Baptists. Most of the black people, we're Baptists, missionary Baptists, and all that. But black people are not
fanatical.
You know, there's a difference between the white Baptist and the black Baptist. My mom did church photography sales for a while, and she's been in both churches, and yeah, there was a huge difference.
Yeah, they're all whack.
Well, don't forget the apostolic holiness and the Church of God in Christ. Yeah. I mean,
African American, you know, African Methodist Episcopal.
And yeah, the AMEs.
But AMEs. But here's the thing about black women in general. Well, okay, I'm speaking as myself. Do not tell me you're telling a black woman what she can and cannot do. Are you fucking stupid? It's like you're telling me that I, as a woman, that I do not have autonomy over my body. That I need a white man to tell me what I can and do with my and can and cannot do with my body. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, y'all have already been to that movie.
Yeah, right. Tracy also said something
critical. Okay, you're going in and out.
Hey, Darlene, you're breaking up. Try again.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
Oh, okay. Tracy said something very critical, referring to the tariffs as a tax. That's beautiful, because that is where the Democrats are not on message about that, screaming that from the hilltops. It's a tax.
It's a tax.
You got to go.
The Trump tax. It's the Trump tax hike.
It's Trump tax. It's And then back to that. Hey, remember you guys were talking earlier about the aid, about them holding up the aid to these states that are getting the shit flooded out of them. Well, my pastor just got back. She did a missionary trip down to Puerto Rico for it. She left last Thursday and she came back yesterday. And she was there. And now this is my pastor, who, when I talked to her yesterday, was cussing like a sailor because she actually was, you know, boots on the ground to see what's still happening in Puerto Rico. There are people that still don't have fucking roofs. Okay, There are people, the last thing that they gave them was a, some people didn't even get the fucking tarps, okay? There are people, so they went down there and built roofs, like two or three. And it took like in collectively 8 or 12 hours to fix, build or fix these roofs. And that was just from my church. And it was only four people and the MCC Puerto Rico down in San Juan. And this is with hardly any money. And they managed to do these, okay? So you have American citizens. This is going to be 2 years come November, December, or is it October, those hurricanes hit. And these people are still without aid? What the fuck? See, here's the thing. You don't even have to really talk shit about Trump. You can just say what's going on without even mentioning that, don't even give him the airtime. Don't even breathe his name. Don't even have his name in your consciousness. Just talk about what's not being done.
Yeah.
And it's just that fucking simple.
But
Tracy, don't you, when we're talking about American voters, don't you have to say to them, and it's not being done because?
Okay, that's true. I mean, to that certain extent, I mean, because, yeah, you have to say, this motherfucker, okay, you can't say this motherfucker here.
I think what Tracy needs office, is narcissism.
I don't want to get into his narcissism, but then you do have to say, but see, this is why I cannot run for office besides the background check thing. But I'm just like, this, because if it was me, I'd be like, this motherfucker here. Now, I didn't say Trump, but everybody thought, no, I meant Trump. This motherfucker here.
Well, Tracy raises a really great point.
The cause and effect, basically.
Right.
She's raising
this, what Trump did, this is the effect.
Go, Darlene.
I heard two different things. Wait, say that again.
Okay. Tracy's raising a great point about the fact that maybe the whole argument that he's a narcissist and the psychological bent is really not effective. That what she's saying and how to attack this is what's not being done. Especially when you've got a record number of tornadoes hitting the center of the country and no one is talking about, that's a perfect opportunity to step in and talk about climate change. No one's talking about it. People are dying and they're losing their homes and nothing. And then, of course, you've got the Republicans who aren't that are stopping those. What Tracy is saying, they're stopping the aid, the $19 billion.
Well, this is, again, the narcissism. Don't throw psychological terms around. But what I was saying is, don't feed his ego by mentioning his name all the time. But what you, Tracy and Darlene said, mention all this crap that's going on, exactly. And by inference, but don't feed his ego, because the mainstream media is already doing enough of that.
Well, like Tim just said right here in the messages, 200 tornadoes in less than 3 months.
I think it's actually a larger number than that, Darlene.
Holy
Jesus. Like 500 in 3 weeks.
And the hurricanes and...
Yeah, it was more like 500 in 3 weeks, and there have been clusters of tornadoes every day for the last 12 days.
And do you remember any kind of weather like that, Bob?
No, I don't. And the fact of the matter is, and this isn't me trying to make it about me, but I live in a pretty much tornado-free place. The last time we got hurt by wind was 2012, and that wasn't a tornado. That was straight line winds that they decided to call a derecho. Terrible Spanish. But it was basically a land hurricane that roared from the Wisconsin-Illinois line straight across the country, just wrecked the shit out of the place. And our place is still wrecked from it in many ways. But the fact of the matter is, we don't get tornado. I mean, once in a very great while. But never before have we, we've had watches. And, maybe down in the flatland, like the Taze Valley, they'll get this kind of thing. But up here in the mountains, uh-uh. That's what the mountains protect us from. But now, we've been in this house for more than, I've been coming to this house for 56 years. In 56 years of coming to this house, last week, was it? was the first time we've ever had to take shelter in the basement on account of a tornado warning. Not a watch, a warning.
Oh, warning. Yeah. Tim is saying 500, he seems like he's got the stats down, 500 sightings of tornadoes, and I agree with you, Bob. I feel like my sense is this shit is gravitating further east. And so it's hitting West Virginia. I think it's going to, you know, we're going to be seeing more tornadoes in my small state. I think it's moving further east.
There were tornado warnings out for the New Jersey suburbs of New York City today.
God.
Can you imagine a twister ripping up Broadway?
This just in, a Sharknado spotted in the Pacific Ocean outside off the coast of California. God. Here.
But that thing, Sharknado. Yeah, he did. He did. He's going to hell.
You won't have no more mountains out there to protect you from that wind, buddy.
Right. And that's a big part of it, too. But that thing, and by the way, that thing that ripped through Leawood, Kansas last night and tore on into Missouri was a half a mile wide.
Whoa.
Yeah, my friend Randy, who I used to work with at a couple of stations in Kansas City in the 80s and 90s, he showed a picture, and he said that he's in, I think he said Shawnee, which is a Kansas suburb of Kansas City, Missouri, and he said the thing passed by his place less than 5 miles away. I think he said 5 miles to the north.
They were evacuating, you know, the KC Airport is north of the city. They were evacuating the Kansas City Airport.
Yeah, and it's way north of Kansas City proper.
Yeah.
Just to add to this, not
to play interpreter, because Tracy certainly doesn't need one, and the people who have echoed what she was talking about, I would say the marching orders should be, from here on in, practice this. Trump assumed. You don't even have to mention his fucking name. All you got to do is look around you, or look around your country that you love, and if it ain't specifically him, like doing photo ops, throwing fucking rolls of paper towels to Puerto Ricans, you know it's one of his enablers, or his apologists, or his, you know, cohorts. I mean, just assume that we already know where the problem is. It's a matter of voting in a manner consistent in as many ways as possible, of ridding ourselves of the established issue problem. You know, Trump assumed. I think that's a grammar thing, Bob, isn't it?
You mean it makes an ass out of you and me?
No, there's a principle in grammar where you are assumed. I don't know. I'm thinking back too far back, and I was only paying half attention then. But anyway, go ahead.
No. Well, the only thing I would go back to is, I don't think you beat Trump by using words like narcissist. Because that's two syllables too long for a whole lot of America. I know that makes me sound like an elitist snob, but, you know, reality spoken here.
I think we defeat him by attacking those that support him.
Yeah, John.
The Senate, all those senators that are supporting this shit.
Make them wear it. Back.
That's right. Wear it like a badge, baby. You claim it, we're going to point at it. You know, take his power away from him.
And
the only thing propping his ass
up
is the Senate.
I know it's probably poor strategy, but if there is a strong, viable candidate, a strong, viable Democrat against Mitch McConnell, then that person needs to be supported mightily. Because,
mightily.
He's a dick, and whoever would replace him is a dick. But the symbolic value of sending him out to pasture cannot be overstated.
No.
And by the way, I got
as important as Donnie is himself.
Absolutely. And I got to share an email from Shorty in L.A. as far as Mueller is concerned, you know, the primary purpose of the front porch tonight. Wrong, wrong, almost correct. Sorry it's long, but the horn needs to hear. All about language. Answer me this. Who was the audience? Who was former? Who was the former special prosecutor, special counsel briefing? More importantly, who was the former special counsel talking to? So, Bob, language does for the speaker what the speaker intends for it to do. One, he chose today while everyone was away. Why?
Yep.
Two, because senators and and representatives needed to hear our news cycle break for real. Three, they needed to see with their ears in real time as he gave a bullseye briefing. Four, once a Marine, always a Marine. Always faithful, right? Semper Fidelis. Five, lastly, he expressed overall that his team did their job. They did their investigations by the book, even though the book was tainted. Six, if you zoom out and hear him again, you will hear him say, hey, guys, I'm not God, so just stop it. Oh, yeah, Congress, do the job the citizens voted for. And Americans, make them do their jobs. It's your right.
Amen.
Especially the Senate Americans. He wanted to thank his team publicly, hint, as man, as Marine, and a prosecutor. He needed to pick the best day to do this, without all the political paparazzi. Today was the day. LMAO. In the Air Force, we had Worry Wednesdays.
Shit, that's perfect.
Isn't that brilliant? Yep. That's just absolutely brilliant.
Outstanding.
I do, yeah. I do still take issue with his misstatement of what the Constitution of the United States says. But there may be a lot of truth in what Shorty offers.
Yep.
I believe there is.
Yep. I agree. Yep. I think that's right.
It's up to us, baby. There ain't nobody else going to do this shit but the people of this country, rising up, continuing to keep their voice going.
You got that right, John. Yeah.
It has to be. It's imperative that we do this.
By the way,
we are the ones that write the chapter. We are the ones that are going to write the end of this story.
Hey, John, you're an old salt. So
that's me, baby.
I want to direct
old Navy. My level of sarcasm is dependent upon your level of stupidity. That's me, baby.
In other words, I'm fucked.
I touched on my salty side.
That needs to be the call for your show.
Given your Navy experience, what the hell gives with this air crew running around with their maggot patches on their coveralls?
That's their commanding officer ought to jump their shit for that. That is not legal. That is the UCMJ covers that. That's a political statement, and it should be removed and removed promptly. Our military is not an arm of Donnie's little brigade here. You don't need that kind of shit in the service. Your brothers and sisters standing next to you don't need to know that you're some racist asshole that's willing to chunk them over the side of the ship, baby. That's one unit, and that unit needs to step forward, baby, and the commanding officer of that unit needs to step forward fast.
Is there real quick. Does it warrant some degree of disciplinary action against those guys?
Yes.
And see,
a reprimand at least.
And there's a backstory to this too. You know, the Wasp was one of the first Pacific Fleet carriers.
Yes, sir.
There was Enterprise, Hornet, and Wasp, I think. And they were the ones who were not in port on December 7th, 1941.
Right.
Wasp, if I recall correctly, was later sunk, maybe at Coral Sea.
By kamikaze.
My dad even told me a story. I couldn't remember if it was Hornet or Wasp. But they were in port, and they were taking Liberty at the same time. And my dad was aboard the USS Essex. And a fight broke out when a guy from, it was either the Wasp or the Hornet, said, yeah, there are those sons of bitches we took the fish for.
Oh, no shit. No, you don't.
It was on. But anyway,
yeah.
That's just all backstory. But Wasp is an honorable name. And when Wasp was rebuilt and recommissioned, or commissioned anew, she was an Essex-class carrier. And the Essex-class carriers were the largest carriers of World War II. And
straight deck, yep.
Yeah, that was straight deck before the angle, and it was even before the hurricane bow. The forecastle, the forecastle was open on those ships. Creepy as hell. I've seen pictures of them in a hurricane, or a typhoon rather. But
they were built on the keels of ships that were already, you know, being produced at that time.
Well, no, those were the Jeep carriers, the CVEs. They were built on Liberty ship keels. Right. The Essex class was the first purpose built aircraft carrier.
Right.
But that's all kind of background. And of course, the planes were launched off the decks of those carriers and off of the later classes of carriers by steam catapult. Well, the air crew with the MAGA patches were aboard the USS Wasp in Japan. It's also home port for the USS Essex, and both of those are helicopter carriers now and landing craft carriers. They've got great big sterns that open up and can can offload landing craft. They're magnificent ships. But once again, Trump got into his he's got this hang up with steam catapults because the Navy is developing an electromagnetic catapult for the next generation of carriers.
Yeah.
And he
thinks we can still shovel coal in to do it, probably.
Yeah, well, he still thinks that we should be generating steam to fling, you know, $3 billion aircraft into the air. He's dumber than a head in a hog, isn't he, ass? But here's the thing. So he's on the Wasp, which does not have any kind of catapult because helicopters take off fucking vertically. They do not have to be catapulted. So one of the things this dumbass does is he asks him, so what do you prefer, electric or steam catapults? Well, those fuckers don't know anything about any of that shit because they don't have any of them. But the guys with the MAGA patches on their coveralls, you know, steam.
Steam. Steam.
Yeah. Jesus, go back to stupid.
Steam boilers in the engine room, too.
Yeah, and that's what my dad did.
More cowbells. More cowbells.
And that's what my dad did. He was a what they called a water tender back then. He ran the boilers in B Division. Aboard the Essex in the Second World War. But even then, you know, that's fuel oil. That's not coal bunkers. We kind of learned the lesson about coal bunkers with the Maine in, what, 1902, 1899?
Yeah, right in Havana Harbor, baby. Blue like a... yeah.
Yeah, what was it? William Randolph Hearst said, you give me the story, I'll give you the war.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Bob.
What about John Voight coming out saying in defense of Trump that he was the best thing since Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, Jesus. Somebody slapped that guy.
Oh, John he needs
crack, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, his own kid won't speak to him. So what do you want?
Yeah, there you go.
He's like James Woods, you know.
I didn't even know he was still around.
They should have took a left at Albuquerque, you know.
Here we are, Pismo Beach and all the clams I can eat.
Hey, Mr. Bob, may I bring up a pending topic for Friday, or would you like me to just
No. Don't sit on it.
Give me time to think, Steve.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Let us cogitate.
Okay, we need to figure out what's the best way to get this orange monster out of here as far as this impeachment thing. Do we hurry up and roll and try to just expedite the process as fast as possible, or just let it play out real slow so around 2020 we have him in the House and we're exposing all his ugly ass warts? I mean, that's two different strategies.
All in timing, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. Look, I am diving into it. Some of that may be beyond our control. I mean, if I'm right, and there's every chance in the world I'm not, then we are on a timetable that is at least October before the necessary evidence is available to really load up a bill of impeachment or an article or articles of impeachment via a select committee. So, yeah.
Well, that would give us about a year to so rub that in their face.
What's the story to hear about Donnie Jr. coming back in to testify or whatever?
Yeah, Donnie Jr.
And plus, assuming that, that Bill barred a prosecution hasn't done anything, there are other investigations pending. And meanwhile, the Attorney General of the state of New York has been empowered to make his life miserable. So all we can do is kind of breathe and, you know, do our yoga and om, and just don't
your face,
don't let
go dance out like, there in the day
like a bugs well. Like a Bugs Bunny cigar. Either one could blow up in your face. You just don't know.
Well, even more than
just be the
even
ball.
More than
exactly, Sparky.
Even more than yoga.
Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. Be the ball.
The byword here is whenever it happens, be prepared and be doing your prep work now. You know, Democrats.
Well, that's what we're doing right here on the Horn Show, right here, baby. We're keeping that ball moving forward.
That's why I want to put our collective minds together and let's get a plan.
Here's an idea.
Figure this out.
Here's an idea. I would like to see somebody on the Democrat or a group of people on the Democratic side in the Congress or whatever trying to turn Trump against Barr. Barr, you know, like trying to maybe play Barr off is becoming even more powerful than Trump. Because he always eventually turns against everybody. Just
you know,
saying.
Darlene, you're prescient because that was touched on today by, I think, John Heilman on one of the MSNBC shows. Let me see.
Fucking brilliant, man. I never even thought of that. Yeah, but yeah.
The only thing Donnie hates is somebody else getting the publicity.
Yeah, he's turning him like a snake, man.
Oh, yeah. Loser.
Yeah, let's see. John Heilman said on MSNBC, I think that Barr, the president hasn't lost Fox News because tonight, one way or another, Sean Hannity and the others will figure out a way to rally around Trump. The smart conservatives, the smarter legal analysts who sometimes defended him, sometimes criticized, the person who lost Fox News is Bill Barr, and that, I think, is for Barr's standing with Trump. Despite the fact that Barr has obviously gone to extraordinary lengths, I would say potentially to impeachable lengths, as the attorney general, to lie about the report, do everything he's done. We know that Trump, the most loyal defenders, those who have thrown their bodies on the train tracks for Trump, as soon as they get bad press, they're on shaky ground.
And the train runs over him, baby.
Except
he doesn't give a shit.
Except for precious glamour shot Hopi Hicks.
Mm. Oh, and Ivanka.
Oh, is she going to testify?
Her turn's coming too, baby.
No,
she just got subpoenaed.
No. Maggie Haberman has reported that she's having an existential crisis.
Oh, God.
Oh, and one last thing.
Hey, could someone give her some medication? She needs our help, folks.
One last thing. This is disgusting on the way out the door. So while Trump was in Japan, he commanded the Navy to remove the USS John McCain from his sight. And acting defense.
I would just love to slap the shit out of him, that little coward.
Well, and again, it's
shit.
A manifestation of how goddamn
they shouldn't
stupid
allow
he is.
Him on a goddamn ship.
That ship is not named after Senator John McCain. That ship is named after John McCain's daddy, the Admiral.
Ooh.
But
I can't wait for him to visit the Queen this week. Good God.
He's treasonous traitor, man.
The acting Secretary of Defense, John, Patrick Shanahan, ordered that decent and honorable ship to put a tarp over its name.
Why are they doing this?
Any sailor wearing a cap with the ship's name on it was given the day off. What a petty little pissant.
That's who told you. That's the one thing that irks me. They call him Commander in Chief, the disgraceful draft dodger that he is. And I always remind people, somebody went in his place when he chickened out, when he got his little deferment from his little made up bone spur shit. There was another person called and served in his place. and he could give a shit less about them.
The thing that got me was when he's standing on the Japanese ship wishing him a happy Memorial Day on Tuesday.
Oh, God.
And you know what? Sparky? There's a tweet for everything, because a few years back, he said, "I wonder if Obama even recognizes how many on this Memorial Day, how many Americans lost their lives in the attack on Pearl Harbor."
Oh, funny, because he can't even be in D.C. to do the wreath laying ceremony. Mm-hmm. It had to be Vice President Pence.
Is he doesn't know about the international dateline when it was the next day there.
Oh, holy shit, I wasn't even thinking about that. That's so true, Sparky.
Extremely stable genius.
God.
And I don't think I have to convince anybody of this, but I'd like to put a cap on it, if I may.
Are you ready?
Donald Trump is detestable scum. If someone were so unfortunate as to step in a pile of his odious residue, they'd be unable to simply scrape it off and continue on their way. Both shoes would need to be immediately burned, even the one that didn't actually trod through Trump's vile, nasty leavings. He's worthy of utter contempt, the intensity of 1,000 suns, and even that is way too good for him.
I say it all the time. The name Trump is synonymous with crap, and everybody that gets near him gets that shit smeared all over him, and they smell like crap, and their little name will have an asterisk next to it, served for a crappy president, through his dignity on the pile for him.
You know,
Sanders doesn't plan on getting a job after this little shebang is done.
No, she's going to be unemployable. She'll be selling single wides back in Bug Tussle.
One thing she could do is play in the remake of the Addams Family. Sarah Sanders could be the new Uncle Fester. Because she looks, side by side.
Oh my God.
I think she ought to start running commercials. Do you need a shit shiner? I'm the best shit shiner you ever saw. Yeah. If you got a big turd to get rid of, I'll polish it all over.
I'm Sarah Shiny Heiny. Yes.
There we go.
There ain't enough shiny to get this shit off of her, Bob.
Here's one for the genealogist to ponder. We'll wrap up after this. This one just occurred to me when I saw a statement, and it's a true statement, that for 150 years, no member of the Trump family has ever served this country.
Ouch.
But wait.
Except in white hoods.
Well, that's not serving this country.
True story, though.
Yeah, absolutely true. 1927. But here's the kicker. I got to thinking about it because I had actually done some family research, running down one of the branches of my family tree, and there is some reason to believe that the earliest it's uncertain, but one of the potential answers is that this guy came over from Germany. His name was Johann Bader. And he came over from Germany as a conscripted mercenary hired by the British. They were commonly referred to as Hessians, after the German principality of Hesse. But they weren't all from Hesse. Some of them were Schwabians, for instance. And I got to wondering, what if the only time a Drumpf or a Christ, because remember, his granddaddy, his great-granddaddy maybe, married a woman named Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. What if it turned out that the only time a Trump had ever served in the military was as a mercenary fighting for the English against the American patriots?
Ooh.
It's, ouch. You don't have to dig very, I mean, you can find a lot of German families that have that in their background. Because it's not like they were itching to go to war. It's that the princes because, you know, Germany didn't become a full-on state for a long time. It was part of the Holy Roman Empire. And it was a bunch of little tiny principalities that were run by these jealous princes. And they would rent their own citizens out as armies to go fight as mercenary forces for other countries. And in the time of the Revolution, principally, Great Britain. Because Great Britain could not muster enough troops to keep an eye on the French and at the same time wage a war across the Atlantic. And so the Hessians got this horrible reputation for just being brutes. But it would not surprise me in the least if somebody could dig around and find out that somewhere along the way, a member of the Trump family or the Christs had actually fought against American independence. Wouldn't that just be ironic as hell? I don't have any evidence to support it.
I don't think
it.
They would have been the ones that.
That'd be too damn perfect.
One of the scumbags that would hover around a war to try to make money off of it, maybe. But well, actually, combat. I don't.
We will have come full circle. Basically, he's a traitor to the current U.S. and his forebears also were anti-revolutionary. So there you go.
Another reason, Rick. Thank you very much, buddy.
You bet.
All right. So I want to thank everybody who dug us out of this hole and finished the month of May. I want to thank you so very much. That's tremendous. And I want to thank the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable panel this evening. Thanks, everybody. You guys were awesome. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. And thanks to Sparky for, at the very last minute, moderating this very special midweek front porch. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 years leading the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.